Blog Talk Radio.
This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Satish Ram. We needed to buy new pants because he had to change them a lot over that Cena match on Sunday. So, you know, things happen.
No, I'm confused. What day is it today?
I'm going to say Wednesday.
So today, oh, okay. So it's not Monday night.
No.
All right, that's an issue. I may have missed some things. I had stuff to do on Tuesday. That's a problem.
We may have time warped.
Okay. We may have time warp, yes. If anyone is listening, and yes, of course, we were unable to do the show on Monday. I'm still a fan of blaming Canada. You might want to blame yourself, Satish, but I still blame Canada. I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, in quite, you know, honesty, it's sort of like my fault. But we can totally blame Canada because they've had it too good for too long. It's really nice over there, guys.
Here's why I blame Canada. They gave us Bret Hart to get screwed over. Let me think. They took Jericho away from us. They gave him and then took him away. Edge isn't here anymore.
Does Christian count? What are they doing
yeah.
with Christian?
It's their fault. When Christian was around the snow, like with kind of like when it was like a bit lighter, like, you know, maybe like kind of going into nighttime, you couldn't see his face. It would actually blend with the snow in the background. And I blame Canada for that. That's why Christian moved out of there.
And we're not going to drop that Crispin Wall was born in Canada.
You know, I had a feeling he was, but I forgot. And, you know, I didn't want to go there because there isn't a joke in that. So,
and we're not dropping the fact that, you know, I plan to go to Canada for grad school in the next, like, 365 days.
That makes sense. I mean, Canada does exist. You could actually break the mold and go to somewhere that's real. You see, Satish, everyone, if you don't know, Satish tells me all the time, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I'm from Guyana. And I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, right. He's like, no, it exists. I'm like, okay. You know, like, I try to, like, play along with it.
You is
kinda
from
getting...
Guyana. It exists. It's been referenced by Japan.
That's what
they actually know what it is.
So what you're telling me is the only place I've seen your quote-unquote area of residence is in Pokemon? Because everything's real in Pokemon.
Ezekiel Jackson was from Guyana.
Yeah, and they've built Kane from hell. I mean, honestly, you know, that's all I'll say. I mean, Metal Gear Solid is a video game.
I'm not a character on a TV show like Kane. I exist as a human being with genetic lineage.
I'm not saying you don't exist, Satish.
When I punch you in the face tomorrow, you're going to feel it. You're not going to feel me, and it's not going to matter if I'm built from Guyana or parts unknown, because you're going to damn well believe where I'm from by the time I
forgot that I'm seeing Satish tomorrow, we should cancel tomorrow, by the way. We're talking like
yeah.
if we're having a...
If the show opens up tomorrow with just me, you'll know what happened.
I'm going to call in from the hospital, just, you know...
I'll block
okay.
him out with the Guyanese national anthem. But moving on with our lives and...
I would be like John Cena, who is currently in the hospital. No, he isn't, but he's a K-Fab, he's supposed to be, but he is not. But anyway, we're talking like this, by the way, because Raw was... I'm not going to say it was bad, but it was mediocre, I think, in terms of coming out of SummerSlam, you know? It had
well,
some
yeah,
great
that's
moments.
The thing.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, how do you follow up an A-plus show? It's funny because you look at things like a great pay-per-view,
right.
and it's really hard to follow up with the Raw. Conversely, when pay-per-view shit, Raw immediately seems a lot better after it.
Usually,
so
yeah.
this was definitely one of the reverses where it was just a
yeah.
matter of the pay-per-view was so excellent that it was really hard to follow it up.
It was. And I mean, and of course, and it's funny because you can tell that the ratings actually showed that as well. I mean, you know, especially with the fact that you had a great main event, but it was hard to tell that that was the main event. See, for some reason, and maybe it's just my own memory, so you can curse me all you want if you wish, listeners. But I feel as if with this Raw, and with many Raws previous, they'll say something like, oh, it's going to be Ambrose versus Rollins. But they'll only promote it every half an hour or every hour. So you'll forget that it's even a thing. And then you'll hear something that sounds main event-like. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's Sheamus and two guys versus, you know, Randy Orton and two guys. And you're like, that sounds like it would be a main event. And all of a sudden it happens in the middle of the card, and you think, wait, what? And I'm sorry, it also has happened recently with the Nikki slash Brie stuff with Stephanie McMahon, where it's just, it's coming tonight. When? Eventually, here's matches. And I think it really throws people off a bit.
It's actually kind of funny, I'm not going to lie to you, when you describe it that way. Because what doesn't help that is the fact that it's a three-hour Raw, where so much crap happens that you kind of lose track of what's going on and where's going what. And with the fact that we know that ratings shift in terms of, you know, there have been arguments in the past that the 10:30 or 10:45 slot is not the best time to go on in terms of being the main event, but rather at the head of the hour at 10 o'clock is statistically better to get your message out to more viewers. You know, and that putting someone in the 10:30 slot right before the quote-unquote main event is also the worst possible place, which is funnily where they put Daniel Bryan for a while leading up to WrestleMania, so suck it, WWE. But, that's definitely a thing, and it's weird because there were a lot of things that just made this Raw feel off, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Like,
no,
mediocre mean, you know, mediocre just meaning average or below average, but it wasn't like an F Raw. It just hurt itself by being the follow-up to SummerSlam 2.
Also, something also, before we get into the actual, the meat and potatoes of Raw, I think that another issue is SummerSlam had so many great results that it's strange to have some things actually continue. And we understand Cena versus Brock obviously has to continue. That's an obvious one. But some of the ones, like, you know, you look at, let's say, you look at Jericho and Bray.
Right.
And, of course, you understand, the trilogy. WWE always likes the trilogy. And apparently that's going to be the last match Jericho will have in his latest run, which is at Night of Champions with Bray Wyatt. But it's the fact that they're just, like, the fact that things are still continuing. You know, seems a little bit like, oh, okay, you know, because you had such an amazing, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, what I said is what I said last night, but that doesn't mean that the pay-per-view itself was terrible, you know. They still had some resolves. I mean, Eve, you look at Paige, right, and she had something that could be considered a resolution. I know AJ still has to get her, you know, title shot back, but it's still bad that what they did on Raw is how they have to extend this story, you know. That, like, that's, I think, things like that really brought the Raw down from what could have actually been a pretty good Raw, I feel.
Before we delve further into Raw, just want to throw out the call-in number, as always, 718-664-9468. That's 718-664-9468. And again, as I mentioned last night, and I'll throw in every now and then, when you call in, if you want to talk to us and you have something to contribute to the time that we're talking about, whatever you'd like to talk about, just hit the one button when you call in. It'll give us a little exclamation point on the little board so we know that you want to talk with us. Otherwise, if you're just calling in to listen, don't hit the one button. Just sit there in the host queue and you'll hear us talk. And we love you for calling in, listening, contributing, whatever you'd like to do. 718-664-9468.
That's what I find so interesting about Blog Talk Radio. Not only can you call in, right, as if we are as important as someone like Chris Jericho, who gets Bray Wyatt to call in, which actually happened, by the way, on Talk is Jericho. Not only can we get people to call in, but they can just call in and listen. You know, and for some reason, maybe they don't have, you know, their computers, like, you know, near them or something, you know, like a family computer and it's late at night or something. You can just take out your phone and just listen in. It's pretty crazy. Like, I don't know, I'm weird when it comes to technology. Like, I'll sit there and I'll be like, wait a minute, there's 3DSs? No, Matt, it's a 3DS. Oh, what's in it? 3D, Matt, oh. So I'm weird when it comes to technology, but I still feel like it's pretty cool, I would say. So thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for being Blog Talk Radio.
Right. So let's jump into Raw, since Matt's just promoting the shit out of everything in the last 24 hours.
Oh, but yes. So, about Raw. I would like to talk about the, and I'm so sorry that I'm not talking about Raw itself, but I am, in a way. Did you notice the layout for Raw? It changed.
Layout meaning?
Like, whenever they had a match card, you know, the actual match card was more tech-like, computer. It's hard to explain, but the match types cards before looked very much like, here are the three guys, and it was kind of a zoomed out kind of picture, and it looked more, I don't say official, but the way it looked on Monday Night Raw made me feel like I was somehow back in the Attitude Era, but given a bit more of like a pizzazz, Attitude Era, more like early 2000s, but a bit more pizzazz because we're in HD. And the actual characters, wrestlers' pictures were zoomed in a bit more. It was a strange new thing. Also, they have a new theme song, I think, because when they were cutting in and out, saying, next match coming up is this, and then they cut the commercial, you hear a different song in the background.
Well,
now, sadly,
I can't confirm or deny that, but I will say it may have something to do with the new network logo.
Yes, which was actually, it's really cool. The new what I'm upset, though, is the new network logo was on their headquarters, but it was not on their belt. For some reason, they chose to omit 999 from the championship belt, and I was a bit disturbed.
I mean, I was thinking they were going to be the side plates, but, you know, I guess overkill isn't WWE's thing. It's not like they had the wrestler German suplex John Cena 16 times to prove a point.
You know what? Actually, what I would have done is I would have had clips, and I would have had the actual on the side, and then three nines clipped to each one.
That would be scary, because as the joke I've made before, if you watch Raw upside down, it's 666. If Brock holds the belt upside down, suddenly it's the demonic WWE title. And while I would find that really hilarious, I can imagine the protest like yesterday.
I can see, we've made all these Illuminati jokes and things like that. I can truly see where it's just like, so you don't like John Cena shilling you the Illuminati with his hand signal? Google it, by the way. Then have Brock Lesnar hold up his Beast championship belt, the Beast incarnate. Hold up the championship belt that says 666 on it. WWE, everyone. So the Raw opened up, right, with the hottest thing from SummerSlam. Bree, Nikki, and Stephanie.
Well, I mean, the way you describe it like that, it almost sounds like you're being chauvinistic. Like, hey, Steph's the hot one. But all jokes aside, the way it opened was cool in terms of, you know, Daniel Bryan's music. Because I got hyped for that for a second, and then no. Like, it hurt me.
Well, I have to be honest. Here's the thing. I liked what she did, because I will admit, at first I thought,
new bumper song, by the way. Maddie did say new bumper song. Denial by We Are Harlot.
Ooh.
Thanks, Matt.
I will look that up, and I will put that on my iPod. So the thing is, unless, of course, the song is terrible, I haven't heard the whole thing. It's only in the background. Raw doesn't really focus on opening songs, because they have too much filler to have in their Raw. We need time to put matches that don't go anywhere. So when she came out with the yes chant and everything, I thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan saying, I will one day beat Brock Lesnar. Excuse me, I'm going back to my home now. Like, I assumed that was going to happen. But for some reason, no. We actually get Stephanie come out trolling with her new T-shirt, by the way, which I want badly.
The Steph shirt.
Very badly. I want that. I feel like Ashley would want that shirt.
I'm about to say, I think it's okay if your girlfriend wears it, but for you, it's kind of funny. Is that your girlfriend's name? No, my girlfriend's name is Ashley. There's just a sense of confusion to non-wrestling fans.
But then all wrestling fans are just like, nice, nice, nice. As they're walking by, and everyone's like, I don't know.
Nice t-shirts. But
it would be, I do think that it was a nice way to open up Raw. The problem is that, of course, we got a promo out of it, and I think it, and I said that whole hottest thing because it was mostly sarcasm, because there's a lot of cool things. Because here's the thing, I will admit, even though it sounds silly, if that was the main event, even over the WWE Championship, because we've had Triple H main event stuff before because he's Triple H, right? Not even in the title picture. I would have understood. But you want to see, you know, when you open up in the hour, you want to see Brock, you know, with the – you either want to see Brock holding the championship or you wait for later. You go, in the main event, we'll have Brock Lesnar come out. And people will think, oh, will John Cena come out? And that's what will happen. But it wasn't even the main event. So
I guess
this weird...
for me, I think it's a stats thing, where in terms of them taking ratings too seriously.
Right.
Because the opening segment may not garner the most viewers, you know, and they know they got to hit it out of the park with an opening segment for the people who are watching.
Right.
But at the same time, they won't want to blow their proverbial load on the opening segment.
But then that's why you should wait for that Lesnar moment to be at the end of Raw, because that's what you do with your main event. I'm down with that, too. And I also want to clarify, I'm not saying that Rollins or Ambrose aren't main eventers, because they are. Like, you know, what they did that night was amazing, and I was in love. But, yeah, it clearly made people think, oh, I'm going to tune out, because, you know, first off, they're probably thinking that Kane was going to come in and interrupt things. And there we were. So, you know, you're sitting there, you're like, oh, you know, I can see the end of this match. Also, apparently there's football playing from what I hear from people on the Internet.
Well,
so I assume that's also
Football is starting soon. We're in the preseason. But that counts.
Oh, so football,
points for you.
So football has not started yet.
Preseason has started. It is televised.
That's what I'm saying. So
not
right.
necessarily on Monday nights, but yeah.
Okay. And soccer has ended, right? JBL has been telling me about Germany winning. Soccer has ended. Germany was the winners.
Yeah, Matt, yeah.
Now, did all of Germany play, or was it just the team? Anyway, moving on. So the Raw opening segment was interesting because what do you think about the Bella's acting skills? I actually like Nikki over Brie. Now, I'm not saying either of them deserve Oscars here, but I do think Nikki over Brie here.
Yeah, it's sort of a lesser of two evils things for me because I'm not impressed with either of their acting skills. I'm being honest, you know. Not saying I could do better. I just don't. I'm not that impressed. That being said, I don't know if it's because that I tend to like everyone who's in a heel role or I feel that people more naturally can succeed as heels, but Nikki was a bit more convincing in portrayal of who she was than Brie.
Yes.
She still does the weird Bella talking thing. Where
what sucked is that it was perfect until, because I forgot here. There was only one segment, one line where she did that horrible Bella talking thing. The rest seemed pretty naturally evil, right? Like, you know, she had a mustache, she would have twirled it. And then all of a sudden, she just has to say, oh, you know, you forgive me? No, sorry. You know, you're going to forgive me? No, I don't forgive you. And
fired.
It was weird because
no,
all it could have... No, that's true. All she could have said was, if you forgive me... No, I don't forgive you. Like, that's all. Like, you can have that impact, but say you. For some reason, it was like, you.
Ooh. It was funny, too, because Brie... I don't know if it was the acting or the wording, right? But it almost felt uppity for me, where it was a matter of, like, look, I don't know what you're thinking, stupid sister, but I'm willing to let go what you did last night, okay?
Actually, no, that was also quite funny because, yeah, it did feel as if that's
like,
the
it's
problem,
not, like,
I think.
Intent, I understand. Like, you know, she's trying to say, let's be sisters again.
And she's,
but
and
it
she's
sounded
angry
like,
as well.
Yeah, in your stupidity, I'm willing to look past your stupid move, sister. I'm willing to look past it because that's who I am. I'm
compared
Bella.
To your stupidness. Yeah.
Compared to you, I will look past this. Out of all the things that you wouldn't... Like, basically undermining Nikki's entire promo of, like, I'm really upset at you. And her thing is basically
like,
well, you ruined life for me in this match, so I'm willing to forgive you. I don't know about
you. You know what I feel like? I feel like Bo Dallas, because, you know, I'm hoping, maybe he writes his own scripts just like Bray does, right? I feel like Bo Dallas wrote a script, he did the wrong thing. He gave it to Vince McMahon. Instead of creative. Vince McMahon said, this is a perfect script for a face, and decided to say, but I can't give this to you now, Bo. Bo leaves, gives it to creative, and says, rework this for Nikki Bella. I'm sorry, for Brie. Not understanding that, you know, there was a problem.
Bo wasn't contributing. He was doing his thing.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, Bo was just like, yeah, this is for me. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do this for you right now, Bo, but I'll take it anyway. And then the second Bo left, I'll just give this to creative for Brie.
No,
yeah,
it really
not.
Does sound like something, because it sounds like almost like, you know, look, I know you've made some mistakes in the past.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will forgive you. And it just kind of pissed me off, because, like, Nikki's heel promo, I guess, was worded well enough
yeah.
that for a split second, I was like, you know what, maybe I feel for Nikki here.
That's what I'm saying.
For a
yeah.
split second, because of Brie's response, I was like, man, maybe Nikki's right. Maybe Brie is all about herself. I thought
it
about
was really
it.
Funny. It was,
I don't know if that was on purpose, but I thought about it.
That's the problem. It wasn't supposed to be. That's the issue.
That's
is
what
that,
I thought,
yeah, like,
but...
She came, you know, like, yeah, like, just Brie came out, and Brie was just, you know, what was it? Just yeah, you know, don't worry. One day you'll find yourself a husband. I mean, maybe not anytime soon, but one day. It's like, Brie, just don't, you know what I mean? Just like, all Brie has to sit there and just be like, Nikki, I understand everything you have to say. Please come home. You've torn the family apart. No, but it's just a lot more of just a, you know, I mean, like, I forgive you. I still forgive, you know, like, for you hitting me last night at SummerSlam, WWE Network, 999. But, oh, by the way, that joke when Stephanie made it was great. She was just like, you know, N4. Like, as if it's just as you know, as we were.
Yeah.
999. Which, by the way, is very upsetting to Canadians. So we would like to apologize to all Canadians.
Why?
On WWE. Well, because it's not, first off, it's not 999 there.
What is it in
it's
Canada?
Actually, what?
What is it in Canada?
$12. Like when you know, when
12 Canadian?
That's the thing. I think it's either 12 Canadian. I think it's 12 Canadian. That's the thing. So it's 12 Canadian dollars in Canada. And also, you know, I'm a forgiving guy. I'll forgive. It's okay, Canada. I'm forgiving. Even though you disrupted our shows. But first off, yeah, it's 12 Canadian. And also the Rogers, you know, the whole deal, they don't get everything. They get a video on demand type service where right now they have 13 pay-per-views, like, in their backlog, and none of them are SummerSlam.
Is that... I mean, I don't know. Maddie,
that's
if you
legit.
Can confirm that stuff, I'm
no,
not...
No, I...
I'm not saying that's a liar.
That.
I just... The price thing was weird for me. Because
okay.
I thought it was
oh,
the equivalent
oh.
of $9.99 for everyone. So, like, even if
oh.
it's 12 Canadian, that means it's $9.99 U.S. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, fair enough, fair enough.
I thought.
Though I've heard people say in the comment section on Cage Side, I'm really upset that I have to pay 12 more than the U.S. And I don't, what's it called? And
well,
I don't
if it helps you feel better, Canadians, use a PayPal that's listed in the U.S. and get American WWE Network. Not saying that I told you to do that. Now.
Well, first off, actually, you can legally tell people to do that because not everyone gets Rogers. So there are some people that will have to do that because they cannot get the network. Because Rogers is not for everyone in Canada. That's only for a specific amount of people who do have Rogers. So
it is
in theory,
a monopoly, though.
That's the bit. It is a monopoly. That's the problem. You know, it would be like saying only Time Warner customers could get the WWE Network. You know, where I'm safe, but you can't get the network now. And then when I get the network for $12, while I'm being told it's $9.99, I get it for $12, and you don't have NXT. I don't know if it's going to come soon, but the second they just got it. You don't have NXT. You have 13 pay-per-views. None of them were SummerSlam. You're getting the new pay-per-views. So they saw SummerSlam. So that's fine. But there is no, you know what I mean? Like, there is no backlog.
For
right
what
now.
It's worth, though, in a sense of amusement, because I want to throw this out there, because you messed with Guyana earlier.
Yes, please.
The transfer into Guyana, one U.S. is worth 200 Guyanese dollars, and that's not to say the buying power is the same. Like, 200 Guyanese dollars is not like 200 U.S. dollars. Like, 200
right.
Guyanese dollars can buy you like a soda. That being said, it's kind of funny to think about the fact that $9.99, which is 10 U.S., is 2,000. To them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, this is broadcasted across the world, and Guyana's main language is English. So it's kind of funny for them, $9.99 is basically like two pennies.
So your cousins are laughing right now.
Because they're like, wait, we can get it for two pennies? No, $9.99 a
Yeah.
That's 2000.
Right. No, that is quite entertaining. Also, I remember in Hong Kong, every U.S. dollar is 8 Hong Kong, which was very interesting going there.
Wait,
is
the dollar over there called Hong Kong?
I think it's like Hong Kong dollars or something like that.
Oh, no, because it just sounded funny that you said it's 8 Hong Kong, and I was like, wait, is that their currency?
I actually think it is. Like, I believe it actually is called, like, Hong Kong dollars, but it's been a while. Point is that you feel nice going there with $200, but my uncle always got pissed when he had to come back. He was furious. Just like, so I now have to get less money, you know, so we have to take out even more just to have something in the U.S. But anyway... So this is how much we cared about the opening segment, because there were some funny stuff, but honestly, we mentioned this a bit last night for our SummerSlam show. It's a problem when Nikki seems tied with the authority, when the authority has been, see, that's why I don't know if I could feel so much for Nikki, because I don't think she has a good judge of character.
Yeah, and I think we kind of discussed this on our own, right? We didn't do this on air. I want to confirm because...
No. We did do part of this on air, during SummerSlam. Part of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but still, just to regurgitate, because it is our Raw show, maybe you didn't see our SummerSlam show, it's
right.
An issue because she has been, you know, victimized by the authority for months now. And all of a sudden, she just comes out and helps Stephanie McMahon win. And in no way am I saying, you know, oh, well, she should have, you know. There's she can have a heel turn. That's fine. But there's certain ways where you can say, like, all right, I'm going to punch my sister in the face. And then Stephanie goes, good job. I'm sorry, did you think you were exempt? And then punches Stephanie in the face. Because there's no reason why she should come out after Stephanie. And feel as if, yes, you know what, Stephanie, yeah. I mean, even agreeing with her, where was it? You know, Stephanie's like, oh, yeah, you know, and she always talks, you know, and she married that, you know, and, like, how bad was it when she did that? Oh, yeah, Stephanie, it was so bad. She married that goat-faced troll Daniel Bryan. You know, just...
Yeah, and it's on top of what you've obviously stated, right? What was
right.
The feel of what happened when Nikki came out with the authority
right.
was... Very similar to the Rollins, like similar, not the same, to what
right.
Rollins did, you know, with the whole you sold out thing. The crowd chanted, you sold out, you're a sellout kind
yeah.
of stuff going on. The
right.
issue is Rollins did sell out because there was something in it for him. His hookup with the authority led him to the Money in the Bank and basically the authority backing him. Because, you know, and that leads to his awesome shirt, the whole, you know, don't sell out, buy in thing.
Yeah,
awesome.
And he was also in a tag team.
Yeah, so
I'd like to add. So it's taking
yes.
part of the brunt of the authority, where Nikki took the full brunt.
Correct, yeah, okay,
full...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nikki got tortured for these months. And then, so it makes more sense the way that you said it, where she's just like, she's not with the authority, because why would she be with the authority? They're terrible. But she is mad at her sister. And I can totally get, you know, outside of the authority... that she'd be mad at her sister. Like, I don't
yeah.
think it's the most convincing thing in the world, but hey, you know, I'm down with it. I get that this is your story, and that's fine. So it really bothers me that I can't explain it, but why is she with the authority? Because there might be an explanation for it down the line. Like, maybe
yeah.
there's something in it for her that Steph backstage did, but I would have hoped they got it out last night, because...
That's
you could have easily done it where there was some kind of underhanded deal where she
yeah.
pried on, like, evil seeds that were already there in terms of...
Yeah.
I know I'm being, like, a little bit overkill, but, like, you know, Nikki was already
oh.
mad at Brie. And then Steph
yeah.
kind of took advantage of that and basically said, like, hey, you know, I can work something out for you if you'd be willing, kind of being the authority that they are.
Yeah. All we've had, really, was Steph smile... Nikki helped Stephanie win. Nikki come out with Stephanie. But it sucks to say we actually haven't had them say, oh, I'm with the authority. But it's still an issue because even if you're not saying it, actions speak louder than words. You've done so much to help out the authority that even if they rectify this, they believe, oh, this is a problem. And on SmackDown or Raw, they have Nikki go, you know, people have been thinking that I'm with the authority. I have nothing to do with the authority. Oh, really? You don't? You know, you just helped Stephanie win for shits and giggles. Like, I helped Stephanie win because I wanted my sister to lose. Yeah, Stephanie wins, you both lose, sweetie. You know, what are you doing? What is
right, because as of
what
right now,
thing?
There
right.
is still no depth to as why she'd be with the authority after they kind of screwed with her for a month plus on end.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that this doesn't seem to matter for much, but tortured her sister, too, and tortured her brother-in-law, and, to a lesser extent, which isn't mentioned on air, messed with her boyfriend.
This is why it's not mentioned on air, because I can bet you money that they wanted to keep John Cena so far away so that when she turns heel, no one, like, you know, it's, oh, darn, Nikki Bella turned heel. It's like, but she has
Nikki
Superman
Bella
at her
is
point.
Working with the people who hired a mercenary, for lack of a better word, to kill her boyfriend. But she's
like,
totally cool with that because
that's why she's
really mad at her sister.
Yeah.
Before we move on from the stupidity, by the way, I want to mention what Maddie just sent me. And she says that it is $11.99 Canadian, which is about 11
right.
U.S. dollars. And
okay.
You're correct, there are only 13 on-demand pay-per-views, with 6 being SummerSlam, 3 being ECW shows, the other 4 being WCW. No Mania or nor Royal Rumbles yet, cost more in Europe.
Okay, then, sorry. Thank you for correcting me on the SummerSlams. I am happy that I was right about everything else, because I knew I was, but thank you for the fact check, just in case. I'm actually happy, though, because I thought there were no SummerSlams, but I will say this much. They were random SummerSlams, I know that much. I don't think they were even the Lesnar-Cena ones. Like, I don't think, I'm sorry, not Lesnar-Cena, Lesnar, Triple H, or anything with Lesnar in it. I believe they're, like, random old ones. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the point is that it's not even like, oh, we got the last 2 years' worth of SummerSlams at least, teehee. No, it's just random scattered crap for, you know, for $11. Because.
Is there no live TV either?
That's the thing. I could swear there is, but obviously,
because if there's live TV,
yeah.
I wouldn't be against, like, because if there's no live TV, no way I would pay for that. So there has to be.
No, I think there is live TV. I just think the issue is that it doesn't get saved at all. So, yeah, there's live TV, but if you miss NXT, let's say, which I think there is, but you can't quote me on. But if there is, you miss NXT, you're done. WWE, you miss NXT, it's fine. Hell, you have a glitch because maybe someone in your house is using Netflix. You know, you can wait till later to watch NXT. You can go do other things.
And that's a huge problem because, as we all know, even with people with good connection,
yeah.
The network has skips and lags and issues. I mean, our own fact checker, Maddie, was telling me tonight that her stream of the S.H.I.E.L.D. documentary was giving a huge issue. And according to what she says, she does not sure, but she thinks they show with WWE streams on the network, which is what I think, too. But the SummerSlams that are there are 92, 98, 2000, 2002, 2005, and 2013. So,
oh, good. One 2013. Thank goodness.
So the good thing is...
Yeah.
That they can go back and watch Shawn Michaels oversell to Hulk Hogan over and over and over. Because that would be one of the best matches in WWE history.
In theory, that could have been the only one on that network, and I would have bought it. But what I would like to say is that, and also it is a TV channel, at least. So that is nice. I'll give it that. Because you don't really have any laggy network or anything because it is a TV channel.
I wouldn't pay for it, though. I'm being honest
I'm
with
not
you.
I'm not saying I would pay for it, but it's still good to have a TV channel. I'm saying if for some reason you said, you know what, I'm going to get all the pay-per-views, and maybe you were in it. Because remember, you could be in an area in Canada where you don't have good internet. So
that's
if you are, you are paying for just the pay-per-views, and you can be happy with that. But the problem is that in a way it is telling people to suck it because – this might change in a month, so we are jumping the gun. It did just come out. But it does suck that when it came out for the U.S., we actually had pretty almost everything.
It might not change in a month because the search function on the PS3 is still balls.
Yeah.
Balls hanging really bad, people.
Different people working on it. Different people working on it. And some people like balls. Different people working on it, though. Remember,
I do too.
Different people working on your...
Time.
Thumbs up. There's different people working on the WWE Network for your PS3 compared to the people working with Rogers, uploading it onto Rogers. I don't think that's the same division. I'm hoping it's not one monkey with just working with different switches and different plugs with all the different countries. I assume that they have different branches now.
Rogers only covers about 20% of Canada, according to Maddie, and everyone does hate it. The only reason I like it is because I may end up working under their corporation. I'll explain that another day when we talk about personal lives. But, I imagine very few people have it, as Maddie is saying here. I mean,
you would make a deal with Satan.
it's weird talking about making a deal with myself. But
right.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, but we've gone far off topic. I mean, it's been fun. But
not really. It's all about WWE.
It's not about WWE at all. This is about Satan. And apparently he's been in contact with WWE because John Cena, the infallible one, lost on Sunday in, like, squash fashion. And I can't get over that because, you know, as I was telling you before the show,
right,
his win percentages are astronomically horrible. And when we get to the Cena segment, I'll talk, well, the Lesnar segment, more rather, I'll talk more about that and how monumentous
right.
that win was for us as a people.
Right.
We the people.
Yes, we the people. And before we go, I want to mention, we always talk about WWE conspiracies. Nikki Bella's mic was not turned on when she needed to start speaking. Is that a conspiracy? I mean, we don't think so, but our producer thinks so, so we think so.
Yeah,
so
it's funny because you can slightly tell the inexperience because she kept going.
Yeah, like, what's great... You
not to say that you should stop and acknowledge it because the show must go on, but you know that there are some people who would have played it off as a joke and they would have went much smoother.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing. She's a heel. So if she... I mean, I don't know if they can... Yeah, if they hear that the mic isn't working, which it might be hard with all the roar of the crowd, whatever, but if you can't hear, oh, this actually thing probably isn't on, you could do a boo thing and be like, come on, get me a mic. I'm important. You know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah.
You can do something like that.
I mean, that was minor to me. That was minor to me because the promo still
right.
hit for me. So it didn't
yeah.
take away.
No, but it's just still – it's just one of those silly things where I believe that also happened to Brie 2 weeks ago. Or I can't – sadly, my mind is gone because we've waited 2 days, so all my thoughts on Raw – now I'm passive on Raw. I wasn't as angry. No, I was never angry. But
I guess that's okay.
Yeah, no. But the point is that it's happened recently a lot where you're sitting there and you're like, so the mic just can't work? So are we – You know, like what
it
is
weird.
What less...
I'll be honest
yeah,
with you. Not as a conspiracy weird, but it is
yeah,
weird that we've been having all these technical snafus when, like, it's 2014, and our team is supposed to be like A+ in terms of tech for WWE. So I don't know.
It makes me wonder. It makes me wonder.
Like, did they cut
you know,
guys that were good at their jobs, guys and gals,
that's
rather,
thing.
Or is this like their minor revenge plan, or
that's...
is it just complete coincidence? Being honest.
Well, it could be two or three. It could be two. Minor revenge. That's why I bring up conspiracies. Oh. Or it could be the fact that they're tired because of the fact that they're making them work. And if you don't know how they're making them work, please Google this because they've actually done a lot of bad by them just to make sure to, you know, get by. Even though I think now they're doing pretty good, WWE, so they might actually stop, you know, feeding their employees with crackers. And only crackers. But anyway, so when Raw cut to commercial, this has to do with Raw, by the way. When Raw cut to commercial, I don't know if you walked away, but if you didn't, did you happen to see the Leprechaun trailer?
I did not. So educate me.
Oh, this is just wonderful. I swooned. It was okay.
Hornswoggle, yes.
Yes, we didn't get to see Hornswoggle, but it was trying to... Okay, here's the thing. It's a B-level horror movie, a B-level horror movie from the 80s, right? But for some reason, it tried to make it look like it was 2013's version of Evil Dead, you know? Where
all right, now you've piqued my interest.
No, not in the good way, but, like, the production values and how scary it looked, and it was just like, you know, it's like they were literally, like, I swear, like, it was all, like, a teaser, so it wasn't long, but they just actually, like, they had, like, it made me pee a little, because they had parts where they were just like, you know, it's like, you know, the, what was it? I can't remember exactly, but it was just things like, oh, you know, he's coming for us. You know, like, it's a scary tale, and it's known as, and all of a sudden you just hear, like, quietly you just hear, Leprechaun.
You sure that's not like a WWE vignette for a new performer debuting in a few weeks?
I'm hoping. That sounds
exactly like what I would expect from the new, like, vignette for a new wrestler coming out.
Yeah,
because
no,
they usually do those pretty fun. You know, we had Bo, we had Adam Rose, now we've got Leprechaun, who I can only assume is Sami Zayn.
Because of how bad
they fuck things up.
No, Leprechaun is Big Show, actually.
That's great.
But anyway, seriously, though,
he needs something to do.
He really does. And, yeah, no, but it made me feel like they wanted to be Evil Dead in terms of, oh, we're going to look really creepy and scary and be in the woods. And that's the thing. It was, like, in the woods and cabins. Like, it looked like that quickly. But that's how it looked. And it's like, guys, you're a B-level horror movie from the 80s. That's not as good as Evil Dead. Stop it. all right? Then again, I will be honest. I didn't see the original Leprechaun. But I don't think this one's going to be as good as the original Leprechaun or the original Evil Dead or the Evil Dead that just came out that was actually...
I haven't, but I have seen the original Kickboxer, and they are doing a remake with Batista. Please go watch that with us, everybody. That's going to be awesome. I'm being honest with you. That being said...
Yes.
Leprechaun,
Big Show...
WWE Studios, huh?
Yeah, right? Big Show, moving on, but not really because of my joke, Big Show and Mark Henry versus Harper and Rowan. How bad can you get, WWE?
You know why
booking?
This is a problem?
Why?
Right off the bat, because you always mention this?
Yes.
I think we're doing a SmackDown recap, apparently. Because this match happened on SmackDown and was equally as problematic in because of the fact that Show and Henry won again.
That is actually quite scary. I forgot that they won on SmackDown, and I'm so nervous because I forgot that. But I will mention to you that, dear God, yes, it happened again. Yes, they lost again. And
there
the
was
problem
only
is
one
that...
good thing about this match.
Explain.
Henry screaming, "I'm fire and brimstone."
Fair enough. Fair. You know what it is, too, I think, the issue is for me? The fact that they had Henry appear later, and it looks like he's actually going to get into a feud with someone else, meaning that this win meant nothing, because you could argue at least that
that's
this
why
win,
I'm mad. And
yeah, this win could at least make them credible as a quote-unquote, even though they are the freaking world's strongest man and the freaking, you know, giant, regardless, putting that aside, right, they need to be credible as the tag team for some reason.
That's
because
the
weird
thing,
been,
like...
Yeah,
I'm sorry to interrupt you again. But
oh, it's fine.
Like, Big Show and Mark Henry, I would accept them as a good, cohesive, big man tag team.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was a huge mark for the Brothers of Destruction, who are, yes, both better than, you know, Big Show and Mark Henry. But there are a lot of Big Show tag teams in terms of Big Show and Jericho were a great tag team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Big Show has worked in a lot of, you know, good matches over the years that I'm okay with. So... him being part of the tag team, I was down with. And I'm okay with them being part of the tag team division and being players. But obviously that's not the plan, and that's why I'm ticked off.
Yeah, and I heard rumors. I don't know if you did. I heard rumors that Mark Henry, there was talk backstage where Mark was like, you know, I never got a tag team title shot, and that's why we are where we are. But Mark appears later with Rusev, so now it looks like, I would hope, that it's going to be Rusev versus Mark Henry, rather than Rusev versus Swagger again, because
yeah,
that would just be...
And that would have worked if they did the finish the way we discussed it for SummerSlam.
Right.
But,
right.
Because now Swagger has nothing to do. But it just strikes me as weird because, like... I know you might sit there and think, not you specifically, people out there listening might say, well,
right.
Why can't they possibly do the tag team thing and the Rusev thing at once? And I'd laugh at you, and then you'd probably start laughing with me, because you know you just made a joke to me. Because you know that they can't multitask with this stuff. And it sucks, because it would be okay, like, if next week Mark Henry comes out for another tag match with Big Show, and, like, after they win, which continues their tag team development, he gets assaulted by Rusev. That would be cool.
That's true. The problem is I've heard that they want to use this tag team to be able to fight against the Usos. And also hearing, oh, yeah, Mark Henry say, oh, yeah, you
but see, that could work.
Title.
Because, like, hear me out, right? Let's just say,
right.
Like, Mark is beating the crap. He beat the crap out of Rusev. Well, for momentarily, right?
Right.
So, technically, right now, Mark is the man. You know, he's dominant. So what could happen is he doesn't need to give into the match. He wants to beat Rusev, but he doesn't need to. And he may not snap until, let's say, something happens, like Mark and the Big Show win again in a number one contenders match next week. And they're like, you know what? We're going to challenge next week on Raw because that's what we want to do. And they get their title shot screwed over by Rusev interfering. Immediately, you have at least your mini build-up for Night of Champions, where Mark is really pissed now. You know, so you could intertwine these stories, and I would be okay with that, but I know that they're not. And because of that, they threw the Wyatt family to them, who could be a really credible, destructive tag team.
The problem
twice.
Is that they are, that's, you know, that's what really sucks, is that they are. So you're sitting here, and it's a Cesaro situation, where you're sitting there and you're thinking, so this person is jobbing out because, you know, it's really funny in the sense that Lesnar... you know, I mean, Lesnar is a part-timer. He's kind of old, but he isn't as old, you know, old as in he's older, yes, but he hasn't been with the company as long. But for some reason, WWE still thinks that it can live off of, you know, older wrestlers and older superstars and older. It thinks that it can live off of that, not realizing that one day they can't wrestle anymore. You know, someday Cena will be Hulk Hogan. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. One day, Brock Lesnar will be Hulk Hogan. One day, there are many people who will one day just be say, hey, sorry, I can't. You know, one day, I mean, I don't want to name people that we really, 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 really want to see, but there's people who will one day not be able to do what they're doing right now. And they're already up there. So there's no, like, you know, there's no reason to say, you know what, Mark and Big Show, you should go over the Wyatts. And that's what's infuriating, because it's just, these are new, young guys, but I will admit, not young enough to say, like, okay, as much as we love Paige, if someone in the company made an argument to you and said, hey, everyone gets, you know, has to pay their dues, you know, everyone, you know, new to the company, AJ has been here longer, all right,
yeah.
Fair enough. But you know what? The Wyatts have been around for about a year or so now. Why?
Yep.
Like, these guys didn't just debut the other day. If they debuted, you know, a couple months ago, I sadly would understand. Sadly. Because, like, you know, yeah. But these guys have done so many amazing things. And I think it's just really silly to, you know, like, what, is it just a feel-good moment? Is that what you're doing here? Because you're giving people two feel-good moments relatively close to each other. And the Wyatts have won none of their tag team title matches against the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, what are they meant to be doing here? Like, I'm really worried, who are they going to feed to the Wyatts? Like, I'm so nervous that they're just going to be like, hey, let's have Zack Ryder and, Zack Ryder and Sin Cara just lose to the Wyatts.
No, and here's the thing.
I'm worried.
I'll give you this much. I know Bray is younger than Harper and Rowan. I think...
Yes.
I don't. Maddie, you'll have to confirm this one for me. I think Harper's like 34 and Rowan's like 32. So I know
something
that,
like that, yes.
Yeah, these are not guys that are going to be sticking around for, like, 20 years. But at 34 and 32, when they're already working a tag team schedule, you can get some years out of these guys. And right now, they're still pretty fresh enough that they don't need to be enhancement talent right now. You know,
yeah.
And yeah, I'm overreacting to one or two losses over the span of weeks, but they haven't been billed as a tag team very strong lately, and it bothers me because they can be. And
yeah.
Those are great guys to be consistently in the tag team division with or without Bray. You know, I want them to be with Bray. I want them that to be their thing. But they can be a worthwhile tag team, and they can still do that for the next few years and be a thing because, at the very least, the tag team schedule is less demanding than singles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, well, you said it was only two losses. Only two losses to this team. They currently don't have the tag team titles because about, what was it, three. But even if it's not three, even if it's just two pay-per-views in a row, they lost to the Usos. You know, they in no way, and hell, they were even given an extra shot because it's not like the Wyatts had a championship. It was just, you know what, let's have them fight again because, damn, they crazy. Right? And it was like, okay, Jimmy or Jey Uso, I don't know which one is which. You're right. They should fight you because they is crazy. Let's have them fight each other again. Yeah, because, you know, guys like us, which like, or girls, are just like, yeah, like, let's have the Wyatts win. Let's have the Oh. You know,
yeah, it's
and
weird
it's,
because I'm down with the Usos being a thing. I like them. But
right.
We all kind of expected and almost hoped that the Wyatts would win because they kind of wore out their welcome as generic face tag champions for a bit.
Exactly.
And while they're still very talented, and I like them, I do like them both. I like them more in Pursuit because that just gives a little bit more spark to them, their step and everything like that.
Exactly.
So, it ticks me off that the Wyatts haven't beaten them, and then so the Wyatts kind of lost their heat. And then we have, as Maddie has texted me to mention, Goldust and Stardust, who were lumberjacks, if I remember correctly, on SummerSlam.
They were.
This night.
But so
it's just extremely
upsetting that we are going to have them as lumberjacks, and for some strange reason, not put them anywhere near the tag team title picture. But guess what? The reason why is because, sadly, the Usos are faces, and they don't like to do that a lot. That's why if you can take the title belt off of them and put them on another heel tag team, even just for 1 month, you can shake things up a bit. You know, I'm not saying Slater Gator needs this here, though that would be very interesting. At least
no,
for Titus.
No, but it's just
anyway.
A matter of obviousness.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the Wyatts beat down the Usos, right?
Right.
And then they get their title. Not the first time around. Let's say the second time around, right? And
right.
then you have this whole, you've got Stardust and you've got Goldust there. You have the Usos. You have things going on in the tag division that can matter again. And it's just, it's not that hard to book this stuff. It really isn't. I mean, unless there's some kind of, like, nine-headed dragon that stops you every time you try to put in a creative or a new script, I really can't imagine what goes on back in creative that makes them think, we can't book anything except the main event, we can't do multiple stories with one person, we can't do the tag division, we can't book women, we can't book minorities.
I'm going to say
is
that...
Is Vince that all-controlling
that's
slash
what I'm
idiotic?
Saying. That's the thing. I think it's between Vince and I don't see their budget. I haven't seen their budget. Would not be surprised if Vince has ordered a robotic nine-headed dragon.
Oh, and for reference's sake, Harper and Rowan are 34 and 32, respectively.
Yes.
And for comparison, Bray is 27.
Yeah. So of course you're going to get more time out of Bray. But honestly, even if you just bring Harper and Rowan back to the, oh, they stand next to Bray, they'll still be menacing for a very long time. You know? I mean, we saw Vince McMahon standing in front of the new WWE logo. He dyed his hair, and you kind of sat there and thought, oh, he doesn't look that old. Only because of the hair. So if they just keep on dyeing their beards for a very long time, you could just see them standing next to Bray and not feel like they've really aged so much. But anyway.
Yeah.
Point being is that I do believe it's Vince, honestly, because he's in such control that we've heard of scripts changing hours before Raw and
right,
not
but
really
I mean,
seeing
like,
a purpose.
How asinine. And I'm being honest, like, yes, Vince is responsible for some amazing stuff in wrestling over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and he does occasionally find a nut because he's blind, and even a blind squirrel finds a nut. But it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I know that I get really angry over little things, because that's kind of my MO, but the tag team division's kind of messed up, it could be better. The women's division is kind of messed up, it could be better.
Right.
There could be a cruiserweight division. The mid-card titles could matter. I don't know. You know, am I asking for too much?
You're not asking for too much. I just think that I've actually heard rumors of Vince just being, because of, you know, the schedule he's been through, and, again, you know, he took a lot of bumps, possibly at times where he shouldn't, and stuff like that. I'm just wondering if, because I've heard rumors that some of that may have gotten to Vince's head. You know what I mean? Where he may not be all there right now. He's pretty there, but he isn't all there. But not in a way that it's just, oh, yeah, this guy is crazy, you know, in a way where we can lock him up. You know what I mean? Like, no one's saying that Vince deserves to be in a mental institution. But at the same time, you know, he is getting up there in age. You know, you see what I'm getting at here? I just, they're, like, all this, like, you know, it's not enough screws are out that we can go, yep, that guy can be put in the loony bin. But maybe not all the screws are there or as tight as they should be.
Well, the
cards
in the WWE Supercard game need to be changed because the goddamn Vince card is extremely good. And that's a problem because the Vince card is really, really powerful in charisma, and it beats almost everything, and that pisses me off because the WWE Supercard app is extremely entertaining,
right.
And it will ruin your life if you start. Believe me, it's very addicting. And, you know, that Vince card in charisma beats everything.
I like the spell card Swerve. It's actually a picture of Vince Russo. If you put that card on the field, if you're losing, you automatically win. Sadly, if you put it down while you're winning, you automatically lose. Like, the tie shifts.
You'd actually like the game, and this is my little segue off of Raw for a second, but to be honest, with
who
those
can
of you
promote
with smartphones,
something?
Yeah, with those of you with smartphones, honestly, the WWE Supercard app is extremely entertaining. It will ruin your life because it's a lot of fun, takes up a lot of time, but it's a great time waster. It'll make you laugh. The more you know of wrestling, the more you know of the characters, you'll really enjoy what they do. And very quickly, what's going on is think of, like, a card game where it's like, all right, Matt puts down one card and I put down another. And the match will be over, let's say, power, speed, or charisma, something like that. So let's say you put down a Ray card and I put down a Ryback card because that was one of the early cards that I got. Now the match is speed. Ray will win because he's much faster.
Right.
So things like that. And best of three in the round will win you the quote-unquote match. The graphics
nice.
Are very entertaining because the cards actually, as cards, enter to the ring with pyro and everything. But,
that's great.
You know, so each card has different values and rarities. Each rarity can be up one. So let's say, like, there's a rare Ray, a super rare Ray will be worth more in terms of his abilities being better. And their poses
right.
will also be different. And this is really fun for certain people because with Dean, he's in his shield gear for his common card. As you
yes.
go up to his uncommon or rarer card, he's doing
mm-hmm.
crazier things on the card. And with certain people, like Jericho, common Jericho is Jericho right now, and ultra rare Jericho is Jericho from 2001 with his long locks of hair
mm-hmm.
and his beauty.
Nice.
So there's a lot of fun little quirks in the game like that. The support
right.
cards are like things like Paul Heyman, chairs, ladders, weapons. Very, very fun. It takes a lot of thinking, and, you know, there's tag team solo matches. There's women's matches as well. So
yeah.
it's a really entertaining game to pass the time.
That
I'm being quite
sound.
Honest with you all.
No, no, no. I'm happy you finally promoted something. That isn't our Facebook. Really.
As I said this,
yes.
I get a text from Maddie. I hate you for getting me into that stupid app. And Mona's also quoted to me that I've ruined her life with it. So,
right.
you know.
So you've ruined our fact checker and fellow listeners. So you're basically, you're a force to be reckoned with, Mr. Ram.
Yeah, honestly, you know, I
speaking.
Can, Gravity Falls will ruin your lives, too. Get into that, people.
Oh, yeah.
And then listen
oh, yes.
to our podcast on that. That's
on
another
Friday.
Thing that I promote. Personally, because Gravity Falls
oh, yeah.
is incredible. Not you know, WWE Supercard app kind of pales in comparison to it, but hey.
Right, right. But speaking of something that could have been incredible, how cool would it have been if we had a substituted Big Show, even though, yes, he needs something to do, with Big E, because we had that mentor angle. I would have supported that win, because at the very least, Big E is new, he's fresh, and it's a win off the Wyatts, which is good for
see,
Big E.
Did you know, as you mentioned Big E, did you see his tweet?
Yes, I did not make any sense of it, but it sounded like he was very upset at the fact that they haven't, they as a stable haven't had airtime, which could also lead into the fact that maybe they will push for airtime, like they'll interrupt the segment.
I don't know what this tweet means,
me
but
either.
Because and no, I was trying to talk this out with Maddie when we were trying to figure this out. Is this one of Big E's thanks for being racist tweets, or is he being honest about the fact that he's acknowledging their absence? Now,
yes.
if they tie this absence into the stable, then kudos, WWE, you got me, and
right.
I'm glad, because that can work. If they don't, and this stable stops being a thing, I'm
yeah.
going to be pissed, because we never saw it become a thing. And if you're willing
yeah, no.
to give
yeah.
Alex Rusev a chance in the way that you have, who
right.
is terrible at most things
right.
that involve pro wrestling,
yeah.
give them a few weeks. Give them one
you know,
pay-per-view.
You know what's very upsetting, too? They will make reference to current events with Rusev. However, from the way it looks, and this is not confirmed, just from people speculating, the reason why they may not be going forward with this Nation of Domination thing is because of what's happening in Ferguson, which is really scary because, oh, when it's, you know, play, oh, that, you can't do that, but, oh, when it involves African-Americans, yeah, or, you know, or people, let's not do that. Let's not give them a push. Because you could have even not made it about race. You could have thrown in Zack Ryder. Actually, if you had thrown in Zack Ryder, you could have truly made it a true nerd group. Actually, you could have still called it the NOD. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Nerds of Domination.
That would be wonderful, actually.
Yes.
But
yes.
the thing in Ferguson is absolutely horrible. I don't want to start on that because it is...
No, we're not. No, we're
it
not.
It is filthy, but yeah.
Oh, yes. But I still want to bring that up because it's just we've heard these speculations. Again, no, not even rumors on this, just speculation. And it's upsetting because they will reference, you know, plane crashes with Rusev to tie in with heel heat. Yet for some reason, you know, it's just like, oh, God, black people coming out? We can't have that now. What if, you know, like, it's mind-boggling. But anyway, moving on. Right, we actually have Ziggler, Flair, and Miz, which is something we've wanted for a very long time now.
I don't know what they're going to be doing with Flair, Matt, in the next few weeks.
If
but I
smart.
Really hope he's random senile old guy who comments on things backstage.
Oh, God, how great would that be? Just, you know, just...
And just not
I mean,
even, you know, not even anything of substance, but just something random, like, you know, Ray is walking backstage. Haven't seen you around in a while, man. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah,
random
No. Literally, as like it could be anything. Like someone walks into the middle of it, and you just hear Flair talking. I don't know why a butterfly is on the belt. I mean, Like, just little things. And you're
But it could be things that matter. Like, he in the background, I know it's Butterfly. Why do they call it the Divas title? It should be the women's title. Ric Flair strikes again.
Yeah.
He's just in the background again. They should deunify the world titles.
Ric Flair. Da-na-na-na. And but then of course but then just like every sadly older gentleman in the WWE, just those two good things and then the third one, Space Mountain, woo, and it's like, damn it, you almost had us, Flair.
Just, you know what, Flair? I will still, you know, all jokes aside, Flair's character and all that shit, never get tired of the oldest ride in the park, longest line.
That is a good line.
Still kind of gets me to smirk a little bit. I'm sorry.
It's a good line. It's just upsetting that, you know, it was used the way it was used recently. But it's still a good line. But anyway, but still, though, standing next to Ziggler is an amazing thing because we've chanted for the... Like, I'm wondering if they just sit there and they actually do take down notes on what to do, you know, like what we ask, and then do the exact opposite for so long, and then truly just one day go, so, should we flip it yet? No, not yet. Like, as if it's like, the kid chasing the ice cream truck, so we should stop just for a second. The kid's catching up. All right, go. And for so long, and then finally, like, nah, let's just stop. You know, like that. I was, and the kid's just going, you had me going for 5 years. You know, and finally they give the kid some ice cream. I'm wondering if that's what the WWE thinks of us.
They do think that of us, don't they?
I feel like they do.
I feel like I've been played this entire time.
You know, Ziggler has the title, and that's always nice. And also, Dean Ambrose is a god among men. Because here's the thing. Now we're up to the Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose segment. I'm a guy who doesn't know a lot about current events. Yet, for some reason, I know about this whole ice bucket challenge thing to raise awareness for ALS.
For the record,
right?
I've been nominated, so... When I eventually do this, I'm probably going to nominate you and post this on the podcast page.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'll do it, obviously, to promote, you know, awareness for ALS, of course. But, oh dear. Anyway, what I would like to say, so I only heard about this because of things like Facebook and, you know, and even if you're flipping through channels and you know, maybe the news is on or something and, you know, it's on and you're like, oh, well, that's what that is. Okay. So that's how I knew about this. And again, I'm not good with current events or pop culture. Not good at all. So the fact that I knew what that was, and Dean Ambrose dumped they allowed him. They said, yeah, dump that on Seth Rollins. Right? And then just say, because I feel like they didn't script that, because it was too good. I feel like it was just say whatever you want to. Because he dumps it on Seth Rollins. Dean's right in his face. He goes, what? It was for charity. Throws the bucket right at his face. It looked like it hit him right in the freaking nose to pop off him, and then bam, just starts punching him. I mean, they had to have practiced that, where Seth was furious, where it's just like, listen, you know, John, could we stop doing the bucket? Sorry, just for practice, man. You know, just over and over hitting him in the face with a bucket because it was too good.
You know, it was great because that segment kind of made me smile because I don't mind when WWE ties in their charity stuff to, like, you know. And there have been a lot of current superstars and past superstars, Hogan, Edge, Christian, Beth Phoenix, I believe, if I'm not wrong there, have been participating in this Ice Bucket Challenge. And a lot of celebrities and stuff. A lot of people are really angry about this. They're like, oh, you know, that it's not the greatest way to raise awareness. And I'll be honest, no dumping a bucket of water when people do struggle for things like water is a weird way to raise awareness. I'm going to be honest with you. That is weird for me. But that being said, it's widespread, and it always amazes me to see how things spread in the name of charity. You know, and I guess that was an okay reference for me in terms of, WWE, all right, I'm down with it. You're with the Ice Bucket Challenge. It's not like we can sit there and protest the Ice Bucket Challenge at this point. You know,
also,
it's a thing.
Also, the fact that the WWE superstars, who are at least still on the roster, or, I'm sorry, I know that Triple H and Vince, at least, because I know they did it, they also donated. You know, because when you're that rich, it's kind of, I feel like it is a dick kind of move, a douchey kind of move to not, you know, donate. Because you and I... We don't have $100. So if it is that whole choice, it's weird. I've heard it's a choice. I've heard you still should donate.
Basically, here's the challenge rules for those of you who don't know and are listening, because I will be participating.
Thank you.
You are nominated by someone who's been nominated.
Yes.
And basically, it's a matter of if you don't
do the ice bucket thing. You have to donate $100. It's supposed to be within 24 hours, but, you know, give me some leeway, person who nominated me, because I've got stuff going on, family to take care of, I'm sorry. But if you either donate $100 or dump the ice bucket, you know, bucket of ice water on your head,
right,
and then donate $10.
Right.
A lot of people
yes.
are forgetting the $10 donation part because,
you
know,
you,
the
yes.
part of it is to raise awareness and to get some money for ALS. That
right,
being
right.
said, I mean, it's just, it's weird because some people are taking it as a joke of like, I'm going to dump ice water, bucket of ice water on someone.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's actually what people I think are getting really angry at, that people are trying to nominate themselves, and it's like, so you're nominating yourself not to pay $100? You're kind of, like, you might be a good person in every other aspect of your life, but you're coming off as a piece of shit right now, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
That's the issue, because that's the thing. It's becoming, it's starting to become a thing where it's just like, oh, you know what? Psy should do it while doing Gangnam Style, because fads. You know, it's becoming an issue, I think. But I will admit, it is still, you are still raising awareness. Sometimes people raise, it is a weird way to raise awareness, I'll give you that, but sometimes people do, you know, things to raise awareness that don't necessarily correlate. They seem a bit off, but it's still a way to make
yeah,
people stand
like
up and go, what is that?
It doesn't really correlate for me. So
but
it's
the way people go, what's going on there? That's the thing. I think what happens is people do things like that to make people think, like, if you see someone dumping a bucket of ice water on their head, and you see it once, maybe you say, that's normal, I have weird friends, right? And then you scroll down, and you start seeing more people do it. You start seeing 5, 6, 7, 8, because that's all my newsfeed was filled with, was ice bucket challenge stuff. So I had to sit there and actually go, okay, what the hell am I looking at right now? You know, and I read, oh, doing it to raise awareness of ALS. Oh, okay, got it. You know?
Bingo.
I understand what that is for right now. But that's the thing. So, but if someone didn't try that, as weird as it is compared to, you know, trying to raise awareness for ALS, if someone didn't do that, then there wouldn't, like, nothing would be done. You know what I mean? Nothing would be done, but it wouldn't have taken such a, someone going, oh, let me see what that is. You know what I mean? What is this? What's going on here? Because it's such an over-the-top thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the 24 hours thing is what makes it weird for me. Because honestly, I will
yes,
gladly dump the bucket of ice water on my head on Friday and donate $10.
Yes.
But you know, I think the people from the ALS funds will be pretty happy that I'm still donating and then you
yeah,
know
exactly.
randomly ducking.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it without dumping a bucket of ice water on my head too. But you know, that is the nature
also,
of the challenge.
Also, yes. Also, speaking of things that are very over the top and funny, in my opinion, like you know, very off, like compared to what WWE Shop. On Monday, said, for tonight only, you can get this special offer. I'm sorry. For one night only every week of, you know, every Monday?
Or yeah, I think, are they going to catch, are people, you know, not catching on to the fact that every Monday now there's a sale?
I mean, not every single, but I mean, okay, 3 out of 4 Mondays in a month. Yeah, there's a sale, guys. I mean, don't feel bad about it. You should be happy that there's a sale so much, you know, so many times. But it's kind of becoming an issue because, I mean, I'm not saying I had the money, but even then I could have tried to squeeze something out because, you know, birthday coming up soon. Happy birthday, me. Birthday coming up soon. You could try and be like, oh, well, maybe I want a shirt from there, you know, and I'll just tell someone, hey, can you give me $40? I just bought some, you know, something funny like that. But no, it's just I can wait till whenever. Because they're going to be doing this once a week.
Right.
Because they're definitely, and you're doing it because, and they're not doing it, I think, because they're not getting decent money. I would argue they're doing it because they are getting decent money. Because if you do it enough times, and your shirts cost, or any of your items, cost significantly less than what you're selling them for, yeah, you're going to get a lot of cash, even if it's half off this item, or 25% off this item. You know, you're going to get a lot of cash. And, yeah. Let's move on to things that matter. Triple H, Kane,
right.
and Rollins. I love Triple H. Because at first I was a bit confused, but it really dawned on me that he's so good at doing what he can do, right? That Triple H was able to say to us, hey, you guys get to choose the match type, which is such a face thing to do, right? But was able to twist it into, because when you choose it, you will be choosing how Dean Ambrose is destroyed. I was like, oh, well, shit. You know? Like, damn it, Triple H, you're good at this. And obviously he's good at this, but it's still just a nice way to... Because, again, it's such a face thing to do that it's like, oh, how are you going to twist this? Right? Where it makes
right,
it seem
right.
like not so, you know, it's not so nice or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, actually, damn. You know? Maybe I don't want to vote
on the WWE app. That spoils you.
Yeah. Because, you know, and it was just, it's very smooth, and it's funny, because obviously the delivery and all that stuff is thought up beforehand, in terms of the
yeah.
concept of what's said, but Triple
right.
H is just really good at expressing feelings, being a good actor, for, you know, just
oh, yeah.
the best way to
yeah.
describe it. So when he does these scenes, it's just a matter of, man, you're a dick.
Yeah.
And we can't do anything about it, because we also really, you know, outside of our feelings about the story, as in, like, you're a dick Triple H, we really
right.
appreciate the work he's been putting in.
Oh,
so
yeah.
it's a matter of, damn it, Hunter.
Yes.
But, yeah,
also,
so that was cool.
Yeah.
That was a good way to spin it for us
it
to
was.
Not like.
It really was. To be like, are you serious, Hunter? Like,
yeah.
are you a face now, too? Because we're getting weird here. You know? But, yeah, and then, of course, we have Paige versus Natalia, which we won't talk about much because we kind of talked a lot about it last night and a bit about it, you know, early today. And I don't want to spend the entire episode, as well as a bit in the after-hours segment, you know, in the archive segment, just going, so here's what's wrong with Paige and, you know, and AJ and what they're doing. But, I mean, to sum it up, and, of course, you know, you agree, and if you want to throw in anything, please do. It's becoming a huge issue because it feels as if the face and heel lines are being blurred, and they're trying to make it crazy versus crazy, which, by the way, if you did that with, even though I understand why the impact wouldn't have been as strong, AJ versus Alicia Fox, I
mm-hmm.
would have thought that because Alicia Fox has been billed as a crazy lady. You know, that's what she's been billed as recently. Yay, she's crazy because crazy.
I should be more mad over that.
You actually should. But, well, here's the thing, actually. In a way, it felt like she was kind of, you know, like, if she felt like a Lindsay Lohan type, which is really bad because that does involve alcoholism and drug abuse, but it still felt like she was like, I'm a crazy celebrity, rather than, like, I'm nuts like an AJ type, right? But the problem is that, you know, if you wanted to put the two of them together, you can, and make AJ look triumphant in her return. But no, you had to have her go straight to Paige. You know, hell, you could have even had AJ say something, you know, like, oh, AJ, why are you not going to Paige just yet? You seem to be focused on Alicia Fox. You know, I just don't like that, you know, Alicia, the second I leave, now Alicia's the crazy girl, as if she's trying to take my, you know, take my thing or whatever, something like that. And also say that, and by the way, Paige, you took my title from me. I will get it from you whenever I damn well please, and you won't see me coming. And then smiles. You know? But no.
Let me ask you something, though.
Yes.
Before we, you know, we step too far away from, because I do want to get past this, but.
Right.
Did you feel that Paige was being a little bit sexual in this match?
This match? She's been doing this a lot recently, and it's a huge issue because it, again, it's like you're wondering, and by the end
okay,
of it.
Okay, because for
whole,
me, I thought it was
yeah.
a bit more this match. I thought it was like,
fair enough.
I really
fair
like
enough.
Paige, of course,
right.
you know, and I
right.
feel like, I don't know if it was just how to describe it, but
well,
between SummerSlam and,
right.
you know, Monday night, somebody went to Paige and told her, be more, and I hate to say this, like womanly or be more sexual, and that's what
sexual.
They want her to do, and I hate that.
Yeah.
I really hate it.
I hate it so much.
That's
because
not part of her character. She doesn't give a damn if you think she's hot or not. She'll kick your ass anyway. And it really irks me.
That's the issue, is that it irks me, and I sit there and I wonder why. Because at first you're just thinking, you know, because at first it's just, because the thing is, if she's not crazy,
right,
because now it looks like from the end of the segment she's not crazy, it looks like AJ is crazy and is really making her realize, you know what, I should stop this crazy act. I'm actually perfectly sane. I was trying to mess around. Dear God, this is, you know. But
which
the problem
would be cool.
Is, but the issue is that she even had to, like, do that in the first place, I feel. I'm sorry. I'm just, because it's not, because the thing is that she had to, like,
oh, no,
okay,
I'm down with
character.
You. Yeah, I'm down with it.
Because as a character, she sat there and thought, I need to be more sexual or something. Like, that involved, like, that's the problem. Like, just the fact that she had to be more sexual. And I mentioned this last night, which I think ties in very well. This isn't my erotica. You know what I mean? I
yeah.
have the, like, you know, while the WWE Network for me is on the internet, that's not what I need from my WWE Network on the internet. No, I
and
have
that's
other.
The thing. Like, I know that Paige
yeah.
doesn't listen to our podcast. She'll never know who I am. I'm being honest here. But
awful.
It's a matter of, like, I hope that she really doesn't think that she needs to do that. Because she is a superb performer, and I absolutely worship the ground she walks on because
I
thought she, you know, and I really hope that, I'm just, I don't know
I don't
if someone told her that or if she's starting
no,
to feel that
no,
way.
No,
but
no.
It just
It's rising
here's
and sinking. Either way, though, that
she thinks
that she needs it or someone thinks that she needs it, it drives me nuts. Because, yes, she's a beautiful woman,
mm-hmm. yes.
but that has nothing to – it doesn't matter. Like, Dolph Ziggler is, you know, the closest thing we get to something like what the Divas division is treated like, the women's
right.
division, rather. And,
right.
you know, even that is just really minor show-off stuff. It's in his supposed character. You
mm-hmm.
look at somebody like, you know, all these – John Cena's an attractive guy, I mean, but we don't really – talk about, I don't think he's attractive, but women think he's attractive, that I know.
Not
and,
all now, actually. Apparently he's gotten very old now, and many women are just like, you know what, probably not. They don't think
no,
Daniel
but I mean,
Bryan,
like,
but I think they go towards that Reigns character, I think, a bit more now.
Yeah,
because
Roman, being a good example. I mean, I don't know if they've asked him to be more sexual in the way that he talks and stuff, or more
right.
seductive or whatever, but it's
right.
just, we can talk about a lot of the male performers without, like, you know, there's not a sexuality in the ring.
That's,
you know?
See, that's the problem.
That's the thing.
Because I've said this before.
That sexuality
right?
can exist outside of the ring, in my opinion. I'll live with
yeah.
that if it's outside of the ring. It doesn't need to exist at all, to be quite honest, in terms of the
no.
way that they treat the women.
No.
But it
no.
needs to, at the very least, leave the ring.
Yeah. I brought this up a while ago, and this was not a while, sadly, not too long ago. It was when we had this page turn, and then immediately she came out basically the next night, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and basically apologizes to AJ. Now the same thing can be applied here. Imagine if Seth Rollins turned on his fellow Shield mates, that's what they're called now, which, by the way, an amazing documentary is on the WWE Network that involves the Shield. Definitely check that out. So imagine if you had that, right? And then the next night or the next week or, I'm sorry, no, a month later. So a month later when it's him versus Dean or something like that, he is grinding up on Dean or on whoever opponent he's with. I mean, grinding up
that,
on
that. Is that
them.
Funny? Maddie texted
yeah.
me, I can confirm Cena is not attractive. Thank you, Maddie, for the
okay.
confirmation. Because I wouldn't, you know, Cena's
no,
not attractive
is,
to me. I'm more of a Seth Rollins, you know, Roman Reigns kind of guy. I like Rollins'
same,
hair. That's kind
here,
of my kink. But
that's
hey.
The thing. No, that's the thing. I understand you, and I'm with you 100%. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say, though, is the fact that John Cena, I do admit there were a lot of women that really were at one point that were just like, yes, John Cena. But I can tell you, my girlfriend does not find John Cena attractive. Roman Reigns, though, she has been quoted to say, let it rain. That's all I'm saying. But there are, you know, right now, John Cena, I think.
I'm only
it might
happy
be because
when
he's
it
old.
Rains.
Yes, exactly. It might be because he's old. It might be because he's gotten bulkier
John's
and bulkier.
John's not even that old.
Older, but here's the thing. He's been wrestling for 10 years. That's what I'm saying. People think of John Cena. They think of 2005 John Cena, 2006 John Cena, not 2014 John Cena. There is a difference, actually. It's strange, but there is a difference. Anyway, same thing. There's a difference between Lesnar, too. I'm looking at Lesnar right now on Here Comes the Pain's cover for the video game, and he does look different than he does now, actually.
Too much
steroids. Anyway.
Not a good thing.
No, not a good thing.
From Confucius.
Yes.
Confucius say, man with four balls cannot walk. Baseball logic. But let's do this, guys.
Oh, I like that one. I think I know what that meant. Anyway, so, yeah, trying to move on. Yeah, before we move on, just, yeah, this, you know, it's bad. Commentary is bad with it. It's not their fault because they're told to say certain lines like, oh, it's crazy versus crazy. And it's like, nah.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not ripping down commentary because I know. Ever since that video came out with the whole Michael Cole SmackDown thing,
yes.
I've become I'm so mad at commentary because I still think they do a very mediocre job.
Right.
But I also feel like a lot of it is not completely their fault.
No. And check that out, by the way. I believe it could still be up on Daily Motion. What it is, it's a SmackDown before it was edited. So, in other words, you actually – so if you ever watched SmackDown, let's say, and there was a silence and then you heard, what a maneuver! That was probably edited in later because they will actually have during commercials or during stuff, you know, the cameras aren't on or whatever, they'd be like, oh, yes, sir, say that line again. All right. Oh, Daniel Bryan! All right,
mm-hmm.
one more time? Okay. Oh, Daniel Bryan! All right, that one? Okay. Like, they'll actually have Cole going over his lines to see which one they're going to use. That's why you might actually look at some promos and go, I don't remember Cole saying that. That's actually, or it's a different take on his line. They probably had him record it on SmackDown when you weren't looking. It's crazy. Anyway, so definitely check that out on Daily Motion. Sadly, can't tell you which one because we don't even remember, but it's a very
interesting take because it makes you realize, obviously, yes, you know, commentary can be bad, but it's a bit different from, like, you know, because how would you feel if you, to, you know, if you were sitting there, let's say it could be any job, you're sitting there, you're trying to do, you know, your job at McDonald's, right, and you constantly had someone in your ear saying, put the cheese right there. No, don't put the cheese there like that. All right, take the cheese off. All right, why are you even putting cheese on that? Those are fries. And you're like, damn it, I'm trying to do my job, right?
Yeah, that's the
that's
thing.
How
like,
it feels.
I think, you know, I make fun of creative a lot. Because they're under a lot of pressure, but I feel like they should be able to do more. With the commentary, I also make jokes about wanting their job, but I also, in reality, don't want their job. Like, I'd like to be a sports commentator, but WWE, I feel, would drive me insane. Because I'd say a line, and they'd be like, don't do that, it's not cool. I'd be like, I'm putting over the performer. Well, that's not your job right now, but I'm supposed to put over, you know, like, you'd hear the entire track of the edited SmackDown would be me arguing with Vince, where it's like, man, what a maneuver by Big E. Focus on how crazy Xavier Woods looks. Big E's in the ring right now. I need to talk about Big E. Xavier Woods looks really stupid, and he's talking.
But Big E's in the ring. You're right. Talk about how he's black.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to like Michael Cole, I kind of feel for the dude. Because that's tough.
No, how crazy would it be if, like, because you and I feel like we would blend into what Vince is trying to say in the background. So it would be really bad. We'd be like, oh, my God, with Paige and man, she has a nice ass.
Yeah, it would hurt me to have to talk about some performers the way that it is. You know, like, it would hurt me to have to be like, man, Paige is crazy, and then have to hear Jerry Lawler be like, yeah, but her ass is nice. I would want to deck him.
That's the thing. I don't think Lawler would say that, but I can bet you money someone else in the production truck would say it, and you'd hear it while you're trying to. So that's the issue, where I'm not saying it would always be Kevin Dunn, but I'm pretty sure you'd want to break Kevin Dunn's teeth because of just the fact that you'd be sitting there, and that was a joke what I said, but you'd probably hear, like, you know, you're just like, you know, oh, yeah, and Paige, and her maneuver is amazing, and you hear, ha-ha, what a nice ass.
Yeah, what was it? I forgot that Alex Greenfield mentioned this, but they were on a jet going somewhere, and that they were talking about a performer. Was it Rosa Mendez or something? And it was just a matter of, like, they were trying to discuss her in ring stuff, and he was like, you know, chick's got a nice rack. And then Vince started laughing with him. And it was just a matter of, like, the conversation got completely derailed. I'm not sure if it was Rosa Mendez, but whoever the discussion was of a female wrestler, the discussion got completely derailed because Dunn started talking about the person's rack, and it really boils my blood to think that this guy's hired, at the very least, and we've got a racist social media manager.
Oh, yeah. And if not that, I remember there was a point. I remember, if you remember, Jim Cornette trying to talk about, you know, stuff about, because even if it's not sexist, right, it's still just Jim Cornette's trying to talk about angles with Sable. And all Kevin Dunn is trying to say is, but what shirt is she going to wear? And it might not be sexist because it might just be, what shirt is she going to wear to promote this company because I'm thinking about things, how they look in the camera. But the point is that even then it's just, I'm trying to talk to you about the story, sir. Let's talk about the story.
Yeah, the shirt is a minor detail.
Yeah. And it's just, you know what I mean? Like, a red shirt, you idiot. So in the story, where she wears a damn red shirt, you know, what is she doing there, guys? Like, it's a wonder why creative and things like this take 8 hours or 9 or 10 hours, because of the fact that you have people constantly derailing. And if they're high up on the hierarchy, who are you to say, shut your damn mouth and know your damn role? Because that's what they want to say to you. Because you're just a lowly guy in creative. But anyway, moving forward. Oh, actually, no, sorry. We can't just yet. There were CM Punk chants in Las Vegas. Las Vegas must really be a shithole. Anyway, when AJ was out there, by the way, doing her really cool thing. Just saying.
Again, AJ Punk is acceptable because you're still talking about AJ. Let's not take away from AJ doing her shtick, which is really, really good. Moving on.
Exactly. So, Lesnar gets the title segment with Paulie Paul. Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it?
Paulie H is my hero.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and of course Lesnar got the title with the new logo, and they probably took the WWE title to the back to put it up in a shrine, and they probably, like, pissed on the, you know, World Heavyweight one, I don't know.
I don't know what the hell's going on there, but...
No, they probably gave it to Flair, for real. Like, it's probably in Flair's house right now.
No, and it's just really, really funny because, well, first off, Heyman is doing perhaps some of the best work of his career right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in terms of, like, if we had an all-time greatest promos tournament again on Cage Side.
Oh, yeah.
Heyman would be all over it again. And it's just the Brock enjoys Heyman saying his name.
Yeah, that was great.
That was gold for me. Because that kind of broke the beauty of the promo. Just say it again.
Yeah.
Like, that was great. You know, and Brock as an actor, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, Brock may not be the best wrestler in the world. You know, I'll be honest with you. Not the best wrestler in the world. The man is really good at being a WWE superstar, though. Because
yes.
he does the little things superbly.
Oh, yeah.
And just he oozes just literally charisma. And part of that is Heyman's doing. You know, Heyman making him look like he is literally made of gold.
Yeah.
But the other part of that is just he knows what to do. And it's really, really, really awesome. I have to be honest. And he has the look of a really dominating, powerful man. He can fight, so he has the, like, real-life repertoire of, man, this guy was an MMA world champion. You know, so it's just, I know that Brock, in a way, being a part-time superstar can hurt certain things. Yeah, and the thought of him holding the title to WrestleMania does not tickle me. I'm going to be honest with you about that, because seriously, part-timers again. But, you know, as for right now, you know, Heyman's got me. Heyman's got me completely like a puppet master, and I am down.
Yes, and I also want to mention that, you know, you have Brock Lesnar, and like you said, he's very charismatic, and I think that's the thing where, it was like a way of breaking character, but it really drew you in even more than most of what he's done for a while has, you know, where I do like when he's just talking as a normal human being. The problem is that he doesn't have a battle cry. See, that's where he thinks, that's the issue, where I think they really sat him down and they said, Brock, if you yell for us, you sound like, you know what I mean, just imagine a bird getting choked. You know what I mean? Like, no one's choking at the bird, but imagine the bird choking on some food before he spits it out and goes about his bird business. The bird lives, everyone. But still, a bird choking, that's how you sound when you scream, Brock. You know, you don't sound like, rawr! No, you sound like, ah!
No, and I think what was really cool about the promo, by the way, because you're horribly right about Lesnar's lack of a battle cry.
Right.
Is that Heyman doing the job here for Lesnar, making him look tough so he doesn't need to battle cry?
Yeah.
He very overly promoted John Cena more than he did Brock in that promo.
Which
and
is
it
awesome.
It was really, really beautiful. It was an art form. The way that he discussed, you know, and just basically flat out saying, if I remember correctly, John Cena, you have my admiration, and I'd like to make you a Paul Heyman guy. And, you know, that's. It was just really well done. And now I don't know who's going to be Brock Lesnar, but my God, will that be one of the biggest rubs in the history of WWE?
That's the thing, because it's bad heel work, I think. It's bad heels that try to put down their opponent. You know what I mean? Maybe they can put down their opponent for what they currently are. Because, yes, Heyman was, you know, like, John, sorry, but now you're going to get beat. But it's bad heels. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad if you, you know, say to someone, like, oh, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to beat you because I'm so much better than you. You've never done anything. Because even though CM Punk says, I am the best in the world, in no way does that mean that other people suck. He's just the best, right? So, but for, let's say, someone else trying to cut a promo, it would be really bad if it's just, nah, you're weak. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you're just so weak, you are nothing. Like, oh my God, you know, everything that you've ever done where it was just accidents. John Cena just tripped onto titles. Oh man, no, I am just, you know. No, you have to sit there and say, and it's great because they get good heel work. Because Brock was promoting Cena. I'm sorry, Heyman was promoting Cena, but in actuality he's promoting Brock because Brock beat Cena. You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Because you can have someone sit there and be like, oh, but why is he saying all this stuff about Cena? Because guess who at the end of the day had the title and decimated John Cena? So you can say John Cena is your Superman, but hot damn, Brock came in as an alternate universe Superman who kicked more ass.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, what else can we say? Though I was sad because in SummerSlam they made a lot of funny Kryptonite jokes, but sadly they didn't know enough about the comic book lore to make any Red Sun jokes. which was sad because, you know, the Red Sun actually weakened Superman.
Ah.
So no one made any jokes like, oh, you know, do we have any red bulbs in here? Because none of them. Hell, Jerry Lawler mispronounced kryptonite. He might have said kryptomite. I believe he said kryptomite at one point. The point is that we pat you on the head, Jerry Lawler, because you can be funny and old when you're not being sexist.
That's
or
great,
racist.
Though.
Yeah.
It's not kryptonite with John Cena. It's kryptomite, because it just might not work, considering that John Cena's invulnerable to everything. It's kryptomite beat him, but no, John's actually going to overcome that, too. That.
John Cena's like Goku, except that he doesn't wear weighted clothes. He wears green kryptonite clothing to train against kryptonite.
It is kind of a sickening amusement for me to note that John Cena got the shit kicked out of him in Hulk Hogan's colors.
Which pissed off Hulk Hogan, which, oh dear, we might have Hogan versus Cena now that Cena's out of the title picture.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have it. This WrestleMania. And if Cena wants to gain my respect, he needs to start taking selling lessons from Shawn Michaels.
Yep. Oh,
and if he does, I will take back so many things that I've said about him.
They should bring Hulk Hogan back and try to give him someone to, you know, to get over, to try and get up to the, you know, Cena level. Just because, hell, well, he's come back into the company, you got to give someone to be like, woo! They do it to Ziggler. We all smile.
Oh, boy.
Hogan gives him one clothesline. He does a backflip, lands on his legs, then does another backflip and lands on his stomach.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep. So anyway, so Ziggler versus Miz was nice because, as we mentioned, or as we kind of dabbled into last night, it's nice that they were able to, you know, they threw these two together, which wasn't nice because I thought they were going to blow another feud like they did with Barrett and Big E.
Mm-hmm.
But they DQ'd him, which was awesome because, first off, they gave JBL some nice things to say, which are like, oh, you see what happened there? Boo, I'm a heel. I hate the face because he did something that was, you know. And it's like, no, that wasn't heelish. It wasn't Ziggler's fault. And it's like, that's a good thing, you know? JBL can latch on to that.
DQ'd him?
Not DQ'd, sorry, ring out. But it doesn't count as title isn't.
No,
that's what I mean.
The title doesn't change hands. My favorite thing about that, because honestly, I thought the match was kind of weak, I'll be honest with
right.
you.
Yes.
Was Ziggler jumping out screaming that we did this.
That
was cool. Because, like, I just, that breaks the wall for me, and I just sit there, and I'm like, yeah, well, that actually means something. Because, like, you know, we love him and we worship him, but, you know, he's giving us a lot of credit that we don't know if we deserve. And it's just,
here's the thing. I don't think
maybe some of us. Like, you know, we may have contributed, but it's not like we took somebody who couldn't work like Rusev and made him a champion. Like, no, we worshipped Rudolph because ooze everything that wanted in a performer.
Yes, no, we did. Obviously, we didn't, you know. But I do think, though, that we did a tiny little mini Daniel Bryan, I feel, where they couldn't hear entire arena screaming Ziggler, where Ziggler wasn't from. You know, not his hometown, just entire random arena screaming Dolph Ziggler. And they couldn't just think, so this guy's pretty over. You know, he hasn't said stupid shit in a while. Why don't we give him a shot at something where when Bad News comes back, because that's his name, not Wade, Bad News comes back. That's his legal first name now.
When Bad News returns.
He can snatch up the title from Ziggler. And it's really nice because, I mean, you give Ziggler a nice run. It's what we wanted. It's what I was actually telling you for a while, if you remember. You know, go back, everyone. Go back to older shows. And I was saying, this is silly because you can easily give it to Ziggler. And boom. They just probably thought, all right, we can't give it to a face just yet because of the fact that, you know, we don't know. Maybe they didn't know when Wade would be back. But now they know that I think there's some rumors that he should be back by December.
That's correct, from what I've heard.
So that is enough time. So that is enough time to, you know, have, like, a feud between Ziggler and Miz. Hell, even give him enough time that can make us happy. Because I think they have to realize, I wonder if they think that maybe they don't know that we care about the women enough yet, which is sad, but, you know, whatever. But maybe they see, all right, people were going nuts over Dolph. We got to keep people interested for, you know, from different levels. So it's like, oh, mid-card, give them Dolph. Well, maybe, I mean, there is the United States champion. Don't worry about it. Give them Dolph. You know, WWE, give them Lesnar. Because we need people to subscribe. Give them something, right?
Which reminds me, by the way,
right.
Very quickly on that topic, sort of, and correct me because my head's just not right.
Did Sheamus do anything?
No. Main event he did, though. But sadly, I did not see main event.
He was not on Raw, right?
No.
Because I'm not trying. I'm being honest with you because you know my memory is pretty bad.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Of course he was on Raw, but he wasn't important. He was in that tag match with Reigns and RVD.
Oh, the generic six-man tag, which worked out fine, but it wasn't title relevant.
Yes.
Okay, no, that's what I was saying. Because in my head, I'm like, I know that I saw him, but I don't think he did anything title relevant, and that bothers me.
No.
Because
course,
we just talked
but hey,
about
apparently,
that.
But again, we've heard on main event that apparently they are, from the looks of it, they're actually
setting
working.
Setting up Sheamus Cesaro.
Yes, which is what we thought should have happened at SummerSlam, but I mean,
correct.
Hey, Night of Champions. I would say it would be nice if you give Cesaro the title from that. There's always
a
chance.
Please, if not, that is
the silliest thing in the world, because they already fought for the title once 2 months ago. Why would you make Sheamus win both matches?
Correct.
But anyway, Swagger had a thing.
I liked his promo.
Yes, actually. It just made me sad because his voice, he has a very nice voice. He has the perfect voice, actually. It's just that the lisp kind of destroys him as like the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. But I think if he didn't have that lisp, and if also he didn't, you know, like have the whole I hurt wrestlers thing, he could actually have gone, and the DUI, he could have really gone places.
There are a lot of things that I wanted. I wanted to really appreciate Jack Swagger, and I really wanted to cheer him on and respect him and like the things that he does.
Right.
And it just really sucked for me when it came down to him being an unsafe worker, getting a DUI, and it hurt me because I wanted to like him so bad, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And then we had Swagger versus Cesaro again.
Okay.
But Cesaro won, so oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I was down with the Swagger thing for the duration of the Rusev moment.
Yeah.
And I liked it, and I did. You know, I really did like it. But now that we're back to reality and Swagger's just a weird American face with nothing to do.
Right.
Good that he lost to Cesaro.
Thank goodness.
Definitely.
And also, Swaggy, right, put on a really good match. Because here's the thing. He did, I think I said this last night, he did things that I've always wanted him to do. Put pressure on the leg so that if Cesaro did tap, I wouldn't have felt bad about it. Because he put pressure on the leg. Yes, it was in ways where he did have the rope and stuff. But still, it was nice because it's a moment where he can put Cesaro in the ankle lock or at least something that involves the leg. He couldn't tap out legally, but it would hurt the leg for later because it really gets me upset that it's just what moves does Swagger have to, you know, get the ankle? What do you mean, Matt? I mean, like, what moves does he have to weaken the ankle? He has the ankle lock. No, what moves get him to knee?
This was one thing that actually Alberto Del Rio did very well.
Yes.
Where a lot of his match would be, and I didn't give him enough credit for this, but a lot of his match would be focused on, like, beating down the arm. Why? Because his finisher was the cross arm breaker, which focused on the arm.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a subtle thing that ADR did well in the ring that was very, very good. Whereas the Swagger, he's good at being a wrestler as, like, a grappler and a power wrestler. But
right.
He doesn't always have, like, let's say, the technical diversity in his moveset like I hate to say this, I know people get mad, Chris Benoit, or Kurt Angle, who were
right.
able to be technical wrestlers,
yes.
you know, and create that kind of limb-by-limb destruction in the ring or weakening the body part. So I've
yes.
done that sometimes, but not consistently. So if he can keep this up, I can totally live with him living in the upper to, like, general low mid-card. Because
here.
You know, I want to like Jack
yes.
Swagger. There are things that I really appreciate about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to put behind some of it.
Yes, and of course
also
we have Swagger versus Bo. Oh, yeah, no Zeb because he was injured, quote-unquote, on Sunday, I assume. Or at least he was hurt.
Because his face got kicked in.
Yeah. Ooh, not so yeah. But it's weird, though, because it's like, boo! He kicked in Zeb Coulter's face. You mean the man who's been calling him Bullwinkle? And the man who's been, you know, who's been saying that he isn't a man and that his woman is more of a man than he is, for whatever that means? And then also say, all these, basically, you know, I mean, I know Lana has been wrong too. We're not saying, but it's really funny. Or it's like, boo, he kicked in the guy who's been racist to the other guy for a month. You know, like, wait a minute. Actually, maybe both sides could have came to an agreement here. Maybe both sides have done something a little bit wrong here. But anyway, but hey, guess what? Bo did come out, though, and he's not buried. Thumbs up.
No, that was cool to see because I was very worried about that they were going to abandon this, you know, Bo thing.
Rumors. There were rumors that they were going to abandon Bo's thing because Vince wasn't high on it. And we did see him on Friday, though, so it's not like it's not that bad because he did appear. He did appear on the app, which they did show on TV. So, again, it's like he did appear, but it's an issue because it just, you know, there's a lot off about it in a way where it's just like we hear that they're not so high on Bo. They recently took away his streak. Now, mind you, he's doing well with it. I mean, on SmackDown, it was wonderful. See, the problem is that the ref didn't see me trying to go for the rope. So I was trying to grab it, and I put my hand down, and the ref must have thought I tapped out. And I sat there, and I thought, damn it, Bo. That's really freaking good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on Raw, he just says, hey, it's okay, you know, and again, love me some Bo. So maybe this can be Bo Swagger. You know, maybe that can happen. I would be
it
okay with
it.
Could
be a thing.
Bo's, think about it. Bo's Leavers versus Jack's Americans. That would be awesome.
I'm down.
Yeah. And, of course, we keep on chugging. And we get to Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho being good. I mean, you know, I don't think we need to have another match with, you know, Jericho and Wyatt. But, again, we are, I'm sure. And it's still going to be good. Because
yeah, I mean, I in the beginning didn't like the idea of the three-match thing, but you know what? This will be cool, and I don't know when Jericho has to leave, but Wyatt would be a really good way to write him off TV.
Oh, yeah, because it's a great way to write anyone off TV, because he's Bray Wyatt. Also, I would like to mention that I like that Jericho used something that Wyatt used during the match when he said, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. He was able to use that into this segment, you know, to kind of keep it going, which is nice because that was a very one-off thing for, you know, for Bray to say, like, in the middle of the match, like, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. And I was like, whoa! I thought he was going to say, I'm immortal, I've been reborn.
But
no,
again, you know, that's why we worship, or at least why I worship Jericho, because he's just, when he's on his game, he is one of the best in history at being a performer. And I say that as like a top 10. You know, top 5 is very questionable. Jericho's good, but, you know. But he's the top 10 guy in history. Also a supremely loved human being.
Yes, yes. We've made the jokes. You know, Chris Jericho breaks up with his ex-girlfriend horribly, buys her parents a house. You know, just Jeremy because the parents are going through a foreclosure. You know, Chris Jericho saves the day.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, if you haven't, if you don't keep track of Jericho's podcast, do listen. It's worth listening.
Oh, yeah. Talk is Jericho.
Totally.
Yep. And of course, we now move on to what we thought was the main event, but it wasn't, which was that six-man tag, which it's not even, okay, again, it wasn't even a bad match. It's just really funny because the combination was so weird, where it's just, all right, who does Reigns get? All right, generic face tag team, fair enough. All right, who can the authority hire for Randy Orton? Like, and then you see Ryback-sel, and it's just like, okay, I think I hear circus music. You know,
Ryback-sel has, you know, already shown a willingness to work with the authority.
Yes. But,
so that's something I had an issue with.
No,
but it was
such
a weird match.
That's what I'm saying. No, there's of course they had it's the thing where only recently had they, and it's only slightly too, it's not even that crazy, where like if Ryback-sel somehow managed to steal the tag team titles, I'd be like, all right, they're worth a damn. But sadly right now they're still in that weird area where they feel like Slater-Gator. You know, where we still have Slater-Gator, but they feel like that. They feel like another. You know, they feel like Slater-Gator and like Los Matadores. So there's nothing about them that makes me think. You know, like that's the thing. It was like the whole lumberjack thing, where when I told you, on SummerSlam, lumberjack thing at Madison Square Garden, where I think I texted you saying the authority got some really B-level lumberjacks here. You know, where it's like maybe the authority could have hired some better people. It's kind of a weird turnout in Madison Square Garden with some of your lumberjacks here. That's kind of how it was, where it's just like, you know, it was kind of just like, so, this is who the authorities bringing in to, okay, you know? Maybe if they've gotten more wins lately again, maybe even a win over the tag team champions. So I believe they got one recently, though, sadly, but I think it might have been Curtis getting the win, which shouldn't happen. But anyway, point is that it's just, it feels weird, as you mentioned, and as we mentioned. But the crowd loves Ryback, so it's okay. Crowd loves the big guy.
You know, back in his hometown, Ryback got a huge amount of cheers. I was totally down with that.
It's funny, I didn't realize he was, he was built from
Sin City. I don't know
if
that's his hometown, to be honest, but I know that he's booked from there.
That's the thing, I didn't realize he was. So, no, I think I didn't realize he was built from there. So, for me, it was very cold, where the entire match, they're just chanting for him. I mean, furiously, to the point where Randy Orton, with his smile on his face, was like, might as well give it to the kid.
Yeah, no, it was the greatest. Like, that's, Randy Orton, I like him a lot. You know, I've made this very clear. So that moment was a lot, that was what I expect from Randy Orton. Where he just kind of is like, you know what? Hot tag to Ryback. That's what they want. And he just, and the crowd went nuts. And they're just sitting there like, Randy, that's great. And I was into it. I laughed a little because I was like, God damn it, Randy's one of us. He just sits there.
You want to know how nuts they went? Randy Orton and Sheamus were battling it out outside the ring. And I swear, and something was going on inside the ring. Now, I don't know what it was because the cameras were focusing on them out the ring. However, I could clearly hear, feed me more! Feed me more! So I assume Ryback was dominating in the ring for a bit there.
No,
but
Ryback,
I don't know.
Ryback has accepted his role really well in terms of being this, you know, whatever he's had to do. From being a guy who was in a couple WWE Championship matches, I think one with Cena and one with Punk. So, you know, mighty have fallen. And that being said, you know, it's kind of cool that he's accepted his role. He knows what he has to do, and he's doing a good job at it.
And I like that we are responding to him so well. Because, you know, I mean, of course, I didn't.
Because how could we not? The big guy is good.
That's the thing, and it really makes me sad because I wonder, it's just, why can't, you know, all we need is every once in a while, like, I wonder if they don't, you know, and this is more conspiracy level, which I'm sorry, I wonder if they don't give people more time because they're worried that if they push them enough, or if they get, like, you know, they have a case for upping up their contracts. So I wonder if they're just very happy with keeping people where they are. Because heaven forbid you make Ryback speak so much, you know, or give him a role where he can speak, and then people go, you know what, yeah, I love Ryback, yeah. And then we get more situations where it's like Daniel Bryan, where people are just cheering for people they like. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, you have someone like Ryback going, so I guess I'm something, you know, worth the company, you know, I'm worth something to the company. And then it's just like, no, you're not, you know, because WWE just wants everyone. Because think about how bad would it be if a lot of people just go, no, I'm worth more. No, I'm worth so much more. And their contracts keep on getting raised because they say, well, if I leave, then all these fans that love me, right? Because there's some people that legitimately don't get cheers, or at least not as many as others. But you could argue that, let's say, someone like Big E, who might just get generic face pops, if he were to gush more, he might get, like, huge pops. About, let's say, being a nerd or being, you know, how he is. And, of course, doing his, you know, doing a lot of his moves. Actually, wrestling. Just freaking wrestling, damn it. You know, he might get very large pops. But it's like, wait, no, if we do that, then everyone will start wanting to get their, you know, their contracts upped.
Right.
Ah, well. Again, it sounds conspiracy level, but I bring up the point if only because, you know, yeah, they aren't on a salary like you or I would be working at, like Stop and Shop. No, they have contracts. You know, they're contracted, and when their contracts are up, like you look at someone like Daniel Bryan, who was paid very little compared to what someone like John Cena was paid. But it was because Daniel Bryan's contract was made before he became WWE champion. Now, whenever his contract is up, he can bargain for more because of what he got from the company, and you know, and from how the fans perceive him. So now he can say, hey, I should be paid more because, I mean, I was your champion. And, I mean, how cool was that, right? Main event at WrestleMania. Look what everyone thought about that. So I probably shouldn't leave to go to TNA or Ring of Honor, right? You know, and then they would, I assume, hopefully pay Daniel Bryan more than what he's being paid right now. But anyway.
In terms of the match, it was a fun finish, and I loved the fact that the crowd was really behind Roman until he hit Ryback.
Yes. Which was great.
But I'm glad that Ryback got his little moment in the sun.
because he deserves it.
But yeah. And then it's just weird because it felt weird that Raw went on. As much as I love the main event to death, it just felt weird that Raw went on because not saying that that was the best match, like, oh, my God, that's such a main event level match. But because it's something that they would do with some high-profile superstars, it was weird that that was also not even the match before Seth and Dean. It was just, oh, good, that match. Now let's continue. Because I sat there and I thought, wait, this match is not going to last an hour. There's more after this. Like,
correct.
And we had more, of course. We had great things. But it's just, I don't know, like I said, sometimes Raw, I think it has to be booked this way, but they can't sit there and go, this is logical. You know? They can't sit there and go, this is logic. This is what we always do. Because it's not, you know, you'll have that kind of match be a main event because Randy Orton and you know, and Roman Reigns are there. And if you don't have John Cena wrestling, those are your top-level guys right now.
Right.
At least Randy is. So, yeah. But then we had a Bray Wyatt segment, which was beautiful, again. I mean, I would
the
go...
The new face of salvation.
Yes.
I like that he's basically saying that because I've beaten the Savior, I'm the new Savior.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, sick.
Yep.
You know, except for the part, you know, that he hasn't eaten Chris to gain his powers. But, you know, we'll work on it, Bray.
We'll work on it, Bray. So, yeah, and, of course, Dust in the Wind versus the Usos, which I know I mentioned before, they don't do this, but this is the first time in a while that they have. I mean, the only time I've really seen this, I think, in recent memory was at Madison Square Garden, where they did the Usos versus Dust in the Wind, is what I call them, versus Ryback-Axel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird, because, I mean, Dust in the Wind won, which was nice, right? But it looked sloppy. Maybe it was just me, but it looked like a weird roll-up or forgetting how it happened. Oh, dear God. The point is that the way the Dust in the Wind won was a little off to me. But they won, which is nice because we need more tag teams getting into the title picture rather than the Usos just reigning supreme overall all the time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Just, I
agree.
No,
like, I'm sorry. It sounds weird, but, like,
you're
right. You know, I mean, look, I am so, so into Stardust and Goldust as a thing.
Yeah.
Stardust especially.
Oh, yeah.
That they actually got the win here, I mean, that's great.
Yep.
Straight up great.
Yes. And
tag
since I know you don't...
Boost.
It does. And since I know you don't want to talk about Rusev a lot, I'll just say, oh, dear God, not another African-American man. Not another black man.
I'm deeply worried about that. I'm glad they threw in Swagger in the middle. I'm just upset because I feel like... See, it's weird. Because outside of the fact that we've done the not another black man thing, like being honest, Henry was a logical choice to feed to Rusev because of where he is in his career. And,
yes,
you know,
that's
being
true.
A big guy.
It
and
just
you know,
that.
So that makes
yeah.
sense. It's just going to feel kind of weird for me because, hey...
Because, again...
I still don't like Rusev. He still has an odd history of beating a lot of African American people en route to his push.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. But
and also
this
right?
could work a little bit better than Swagger and Rusev because the crowd won't be forced to be behind a former racist.
Yes. Another issue though is, in my opinion, they made Mark Henry sound so patriotic that it sounded borderline racist. I don't know if it was just me, saying things like, I don't even want this flag in my ring. It's like, whoa! Hey, man! Like, because here's the thing, he was like, I don't want this flag in my ring because this is my country, America, the American
mm-hmm.
flag. Whoa, man! Like, like, let's not jump to conclusions here. You know, like, just be upset that he's beating up your, you know, beating up people, maybe even the fact that he's beating up a lot of African-Americans, like, you know, like, just, why can't we focus on, like, why do we have to focus on the fact that it's just like, yeah, you are Russian, I am American, you are being Russian in this American area, we must do battle, you know, like, I don't know, like, and again, it made sense, sadly, with a Swagger and a Coulter, but now it just seems really awkward, because it feels like when John Cena, when Rusev will be fed to Cena, because I just really see it happening, we're just going to have John Cena go, you know what, for months, I said nothing, for months, I did nothing, because I had the title, but that's irrelevant, for months, I did nothing, but then I remembered, I love America. And you realize that John is actually wearing a red hat, white wristbands, and blue jorts. And you're like, you son of a bitch.
Jorts.
Yeah, and he sits there and he goes, yeah, and he sits there and he goes, and that's why I realized, Lesnar, you're the enemy. And then immediately picks up Rusev for the AA. He looks at Lana, he calls her a whore, and then he does the AA to Rusev.
That would be the part, you know, that's bad.
That would be the part that's on Cena. And then immediately he just looks at the fans and everyone cheers. Everyone's like, yeah! And then that's a John Cena promo right there in the future. I'm not worried if WWE does listen, because I feel like they took that without any of the sarcasm that was intended.
You know, I hope Rusev gets fed to Cena.
I'm worried about that.
Want to see that. Like, I'm being straight with you, man.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I want to see Rusev, like, fed to Cena and buried and left alone.
Yes.
But, dude, if it's that, that's going to make me a little bit pissed off.
Oh, yeah. I assume that won't happen, though, because I don't think that they would actually have John Cena hit Rusev so early. So I think that they would leave that out for, you know, like, a bit
later. I don't
know.
We took out Wade Barrett pretty early. That's kind of the Cena way.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I really don't think that John Cena would ever punch another man or do anything. The sexism thing, pretty obvious that'll happen. But I don't think that John Cena would hit another guy before the pay-per-view. After all, they want to, you know, to let it build up to the pay-per-view. So I'm sure they wouldn't do that. Though I'm sure John Cena would cut a rather large amount of jokes on Lana that make every single, female WWE fan sit there and go, so, that's awesome. Turn off this television. Let's go see what else is on. But anyway,
right.
We have to wrap this up pretty damn quick. And I hate to do that because we're at the best part of the show. But the thing is, as you've noticed, everyone, we usually find things to really, you know, to say bad things about. That's why we usually talk a lot. There isn't a lot to say about this because of how amazing it was. Wasn't it amazing? Dean versus Seth? I mean,
yeah, getting my quick 2 cents in. This was very, very artistic. Again, I've been saying art form a lot for things like Heyman's promo, but this was artistic. It was beautiful.
I agree.
This is what pro wrestling was about. Great match. False Connor was awesome. Charles Robinson sold his hand hurting when he counted the pin, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And good way to write Dean off television as he films his movie. It was excellent.
Yes.
Everything that I needed.
Yes. And as I mentioned last night, it reminds me of my grandfather, who, rest in peace, love him, would say things like, oh, you know, to my father, who also, rest in peace, love him, who would say, Frank, you know, Hulk Hogan just hit The Rock with his car. You know, and really selling it, like really marking out like crazy. And you laugh because that's how it felt, where it's just, it was all those moments where it's just, oh, man, they have sin. Which, by the way, again, where it's just like, it's the absurdity, where it's just like, you know, again, Hulk Hogan hit The Rock with a car, right? And it's like, Kane had cinder blocks there, chilling out, being cinder blocks. You know, until...
Why they were there, I had no idea.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Kane had cinder blocks, and then they were used. Which, by the way, I have to say this. With the fact that Seth didn't put his foot down as hard as it should have been for the way it broke, I'm pretty convinced that Seth is actually a supervillain with super feet. I believe that Seth is an evil Kamen Rider that has not turned good just yet.
This is totally a reference to one of our earlier shows that you guys should listen in on.
Yes, it is. Once I remember it, I'll remind everyone. Anyway, but seriously, though, Seth is a supervillain. He's an X-Men villain. And again, possibly a Japanese superhero or supervillain. And, yes, and of course we have to go, but sadly, you guys are looking at those guys, but sadly, we do have to go. Like us on Facebook, because if you do, you'll get to see all of our large amount of shows that we do, our wrestling shows, our Gravity Falls shows, our Steven Universe shows now coming up, Dragon Ball Z shows, This Week in Comic shows, which has some of the comics that came out this week in our podcast. And, of course, again, like us on Facebook, and you get to see them. Like us on Twitter, Those Guys
Follow
Radio.
Follow us on Twitter, for God's sake.
That's what you do.
Guys,
you
radio.
Just
Follow us on Twitter, and if there's any advertising opportunities you'd like to talk to us about, any types of cooperation, collaborations, you can email us at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. Inbox is always open.
Also, our Facebook is Those Guys on the Radio, and if you search, you can search up Those Guys as well. So, yes, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow the Buzzard Draw on Twitter, where we also have some very funny cat pictures. No cat pictures yet, but very funny wrestling ones as of now. And, yes, I don't know what to say. Thank you all for listening. Tune in tomorrow for Steven Universe. What time? You will find out on our Facebook and on our Twitter. Thank you, guys, for listening to Those Guys. Play us out, Satish.
I can't.
Oh, that's right. You can't. See, Satish always has power. So when I have power, I forget that I have power. So now I must choose music, which is terrible.
There's like 50 uploaded theme songs for you to pick from.
I'll pick this one.